total proof that 5G, Wi-Fi, and other electromagnetic communication systems are causing massive infertility, cancer, death, you name it. And the system, the scientific death cult, knows it and has deployed it on purpose. You're about to see three pieces of incredibly critical information.
This monstrosity here, right behind it, what's happened? The tree seems to have died.
As the biological effects of EMF in general and 5G in particular are still being debated, potential claims for health impairments may come with a long latency. That's from Sonar's 2019 Swiss Re Zurich Switzerland Reinsurance Company report.
The RF radiation from 5G is dangerous. It penetrates the, it disrupts the blood-brain barrier. It also is associated with glioblastomas and other cancers.
You are about to see three incredible pieces of information, three thought-provoking videos. Each one in and of itself is so incredible. First off, colleges, public schools, private research institutions have been doing this for many years and now documenting it for the world to see in major studies. If you put basic Wi-Fi next to plant seeds, they barely sprout, they're stunted, they only grow a fraction, and then they die. And if you put 5G next to them, it's even more dramatic. In almost every study, the seeds don't even sprout. That's how disruptive it is to life. And we've had studies for decades about electromagnetic radiation from radio and TV towers and then primitive cell phones, and then 5G is even more intense. I'm about to show you just one classroom demonstration of this and what it does to seed sprouting, and then companies warning shareholders about the dangers of 5G, but not letting the public know, just like Congress and a bunch of federal agencies exempted their executives from the COVID shots, but not the public and not the lower level employees. And then the head of HHS, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., talking about the settled science of what's happening. And again, they knew this in World War II. They noticed that the radar operators, the first radar they got in England, so it was first put in, for the German bombers coming in, would get really sick. They called it frequency sickness. A lot of them got cancer. They could put beans in front of the radar projector and heat them in a few minutes. Well, imagine what's blasting out. Imagine what's going on at the airport for the TSA agents around all those machines, much less when we go through and we get limited exposure. But suddenly all the safety research, all that was thrown out in the last decade, no more studies being done by the government, but now it's coming back with Kennedy. So I'm going to show you all three of these incredibly powerful presentations right now. And then I want you to share this video. I want you to research this. We have to intensify the debate and awakening and understanding of this, because just like fluorides are already been taken out of the water around the world because it causes lower fertility, lower IQ, and cancer, now it's being pulled out here in the United States. It takes time to expose this, but as the death and the illness and the carnage and the cancer intensifies, there's no way they're going to be able to cover this up. Same thing with their poison mRNA shots. So you're going to see what it does in the classroom setting, duplicated literally thousands of times. This information is everywhere now, major studies. You're going to see it for yourself. The companies inside warning their own executives, and then Kennedy laying out the facts. Here it all is right now, and then it's up to you to research it and to share it, because we've got the power to stand up for Team Humanity and not just roll over to this globalist death cult.
Do you have Wi-Fi in your house?
No, I've been in the technology industry all my life, and I've never had Wi-Fi.
Because?
Well, I just didn't feel it was right. I didn't feel it was safe.
The insurance industry will not underwrite companies building out the 5G infrastructure. 5G is deemed as an emerging risk. As the biological effects of EMF in general and 5G...
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it, how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
It's Wednesday, August 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, it's down.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I am your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this, Wednesday morning from InfoWars here in Austin, Texas. It's not the biggest news day today. I gotta say, there's some stuff going on. We'll catch you up on the latest of everything. A little bit of a slow news day, but that might be good because we got some stuff we need to catch up on. I got some videos that I've had in my folder for a while that I haven't quite gotten to yet. One of which is from Amy Reichert, friend of the show, activist in San Diego. We're gonna talk a lot about how the left is very openly just anti-family now. They've been anti-family for a while, but it was always couched in some, you know, other excuse for their positions. But no, they just are admitting they hate the family now and want the family destroyed and are passing bills to help destroy your family. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And, of course, we have the, we might call it the runaway scrape here in Texas, the Democrats just showing everyone who they are, and the whole thing is actually kind of funny and might turn out to be a massive positive for all of us here in the Lone Star State. And we got a lot more to cover. We got a lot of videos to go to and a lot of phone calls to take, so we'll open up phone lines probably in the second hour. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 6th of August, 2025. Ex-Doge staffer nicknamed Big Balls left bloodied after savage D.C. carjacking attempt by 10 juveniles. Those juveniles at it again. A 19-year-old former Department of Government Efficiency staffer was beaten and bloodied by a mob of 10 minors early Sunday as he thwarted a carjacking attempt in the nation's capital, according to D.C. police. Edward Korenstein, whose LinkedIn handle has earned him the nickname Big Balls at Doge, was with a woman near downtown. Are you sure that's why? Sure that's why he was called Big Balls? Seems like this story is confirmation of that nickname. He was with a woman in downtown near D.C. when he saw a group of juveniles approach their car and make a comment about taking the vehicle, according to Metropolitan Department incident obtained by the Post. At that point, for her safety, Korstein pushed his significant other into the vehicle and turned to deal with the suspects, the dramatic report continues. The suspects then began to assault Korstein, the ex-Doge staffer told officers who rolled up on the scene at the same time he was being attacked. Officers patrolling the 1400 block of Swan Street Northwest, a popular area with several shops, bars, and restaurants about a mile north of the White House, noticed a group of approximately 10 juveniles surrounding the complainant's vehicles and assaulting Korstein. The report states, the officers immediately exited their vehicle and the juveniles began fleeing on foot, police say. D.C. police were only able to nab two of the young suspects who were later positively identified by Korstein as being among his attackers. There's a pretty dramatic photo of this where he is beaten and bloodied. Apparently has a severe concussion. He's recovering with a broken nose, concussion, and black eye, according to people familiar with the matter. We'll get back to this. Trump is, of course, using this as well as several other instances of random brutal violence against innocent people, many of whom are connected with D.C. politics. And this has happened a lot recently. He's taking these instances as further reason why the D.C. metropolitan area should not be under its own rule and, in fact, should be administered by the federal government, which was always the intention of Washington, D.C. in the first place. And clearly the local government is incapable or unwilling to do what's necessary to maintain even the most bare minimum safety standards. So we'll get back into that. Meanwhile, Trump's envoy Witkoff meets Putin as ceasefire deadline looms. U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff and Russian President Vladimir Putin have met at the Kremlin as Donald Trump's deadline for Moscow to agree to a ceasefire in Ukraine looms. I think we're about 72 hours from that ceasefire or that deadline expiring. The talks lasted 3 hours, Russian media reported, and Witkoff landed in Russia early on Wednesday. The U.S. president said Russia could face hefty sanctions or see secondary sanctions imposed against all those who trade with it if it doesn't take steps to end the horrible war with Ukraine. Volodymyr Zelensky, Ukraine's president, has warned that Russia would only make serious moves towards peace if it began to run out of money. He welcomed the threat of tougher U.S. sanctions and tariffs on nations buying Russian oil. Of course, this was the plan for a long time. I guess America was under the impression that had such domination in the economic sector that we could, you know, force Russia to the table, which is, you know, in a way admirable because you're trying to avoid war by just leveraging, you know, financial operations, you know, financial pressures you can wield, which would be good if it avoided war, but it's not working. And Russia has basically, you know, sanction-proofed their economy, and it's not working. So why do we persist if it's not working? Is it not supposed to work? Maybe it's not supposed to work. Meanwhile, Abbott and Paxton will seek court orders to have Democrats who broke quorum thrown out of the office, out of their office. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton announced Tuesday that he will seek a court ruling declaring that state House Democrats who broke quorum and left the state have abandoned their office. Governor Greg Abbott moved faster, filing an emergency petition with the Supreme Court of Texas to remove State Representative Gene Wu from office. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton announced Tuesday that he plans to seek a court ruling declaring that the state House Democrats who've broken quorum and left the state have abandoned their offices, potentially opening the door for Governor Greg Abbott to appoint their replacements. Abbott had no intention of waiting. He filed an emergency petition to the Supreme Court of Texas later Tuesday, seeking the removal from office of State Representative Gene Wu of Houston, chair of the House Democratic Caucus, whom he styled the ringleader of this quorum break. That's absolutely what should happen. You gotta play hardball with these guys. Just keep pursuing them. Keep chasing them. I mean, this is what the Democrats need. They're used to pulling these ridiculous stunts and getting away with it because the Republicans never show their teeth, never actually do what's necessary to win in this game of, you know, human destiny. They're happy to roll over and allow Democrats to act as outrageously as possible while, you know, criticizing Republicans consistently in the most hypocritical and ridiculous ways. And I was thinking about that recently, just how this story in many ways just embodies the just blatant disregard that Democrats actually have for democracy, the rule of law. Like, it just doesn't actually matter to them at all. Nothing that the Texas Republicans are doing is out of line or illegal or questionable in the slightest. The Democrats just would lose the vote. So instead, they're running away. It's not all that complicated. If they participated in the democratic system, as they took an oath to do, they would simply lose this vote. They would be beaten in this particular instance on this particular topic, in this case, redistricting. And so because they would lose, they're just not playing. And that's not the way our system works. This is actually funny because this is a like one-to-one exact recreation of the video. I think we played it on the show, but it's like a key moment from the Lobby documentary that we talk about all the time from Al Jazeera, talking about, you know, stopping BDS. And in that, one of the schools was going to do a BDS vote, and the pro-Israel side knew they were going to lose, And so their tactic, and they explain it all, you know, behind the scenes and to these hidden cameras, they're like, we're going to lose this vote anyway. So instead of participating in the vote and losing it legitimately, we're going to boycott the vote. And they make a big scene and they all walk out of the room right when it's time to vote. And it becomes a big story about how these brave Israeli students refuse to participate in this rigged process. When in reality, they were just going to lose the vote. And then they were, you know, petulant and went home. It's pretty much exactly the same tactic the Democrats are taking here. They have no excuse for why they're fleeing. And I have an actually pretty simple conclusion to this. I have a very easy solution to this. Okay. Here's what you do. Just like citizens in 2020 were allowed to vote by mail for president, you do vote by mail for the legislative session. So they don't have to be there. We'll just send out a ballot to whoever and wherever, and then whoever, whenever, you know, whoever can send it back, and then we'll count that vote as their vote. And even if they come and say, I didn't send in a mail-in vote, we'll say, sir, ma'am, we have a process here. Are you questioning our election? Are you questioning the integrity of our election? That's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. We established that in 2020. So I think that's the solution. You do mail-in ballot voting for the legislative session, and then you just count all of the votes that come back as, you know, yays or whatever, and then we can just rig the election that way. We can just do what the Democrats did in 2020 and then castigate them for questioning this very secure process that we implement outside of the constrictions or, you know, prerogatives of the Constitution and the way things are supposed to be. We just unilaterally say there's a new form of voting and now it's absolutely impossible to confirm or, you know, reject a ballot. So it turns out you just have to accept what we say the count was and you just lost the vote, Democrats. Thank you for participating. I think that's the way that we do it. I think mail-in ballots will solve this issue right away. Meanwhile, Democrat Senator Adam Schiff under federal investigation for mortgage fraud. Democrat Senator Adam Schiff is under investigation for mortgage fraud, Fox News reported. Fox News' Laura Ingraham on Tuesday evening exclusively reported that U.S. Attorney's Office in Maryland is investigating Schiff for possible charges, including mortgage fraud. Gateway pundit Joe Hoft was the first to report on Schiff's mortgage fraud back in April of 2023. In the year 2000, Schiff was elected to Congress and has served as U.S. House member of the state of California ever since. Schiff reportedly purchased a home in Maryland with his wife in 2003, stating they would occupy this home for 12 consecutive months as their primary residence. Despite this claim, Schiff continued to vote in California. Schiff refinanced his home in 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2013, claiming the Maryland home was his primary residence. In 2009, a health ethics investigation claimed Schiff did this, and Schiff claimed it was an error, and he repaid the exempt taxes to the state of Maryland. President Trump last month called for Adam Schiff to be prosecuted and dropped receipts on the Democrat senator's mortgage fraud, saying Adam Schiff is a thief, he should be prosecuted, just like they tried to prosecute me and everyone else. The only difference is we were totally innocent. It was all a giant hoax, President Trump said on Truth Social. President Trump attached a screenshot of a signed and notarized affidavit that Schiff signed proclaiming that mortgage property in Maryland was his principal residence, which, of course, is illegal and absolutely a scam these Democrats run, just one of many. Very similar to what they did, what Letitia James did by declaring her Virginia residence, her permanent residence, thereby receiving tax breaks and, you know, more favorable mortgage rates, saving a bunch of money, getting a bunch of money, essentially, by lying about where their permanent residence is. You can't have it both ways. Either your permanent residence is in Maryland or Virginia, you know, where you live while you're, you know, stealing Americans' money in D.C., in which case you are no longer a Democratic senator, sir. You're no longer a senator from California because you're not from California, or you're no longer the Attorney General of New York because you don't live there and therefore are disqualified, or you committed mortgage fraud and you defrauded the banks of a bunch of money by making false claims and signing them in your own hand, right? Can't be an error. You signed it with your own hand, so busted. So you can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. Either they have to abandon their office because they do not fulfill the prerequisites of being in their office, or they committed mortgage fraud. So again, I don't know why the Trump administration is not taking my advice here. Every day, every one of them should be tweeting out, nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law. Sorry. sorry, Adam Schiff has to go to jail now. Nobody's above the law. Obama, Hillary, they'll have to go to jail because nobody's above the law. Okay? You tried to send Trump to jail for a bunch of made-up nonsense that didn't exist and had to, you had to perform some pretty, you know, creative origami with the legal code in order to even justify charges. Things like upgrading charges from misdemeanors to felonies just to, you know, avoid the statute of limitations. Just flagrantly violated the spirit and the letter of the law in order to try to gain a political advantage by throwing Trump in prison. And now Trump should just go after their actual crimes. I think that's fair. I personally think that's fair. That's your Daily Dispatch brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there today. I don't know. You might have missed the store-wide buy one, get one sale. I don't know. Can the crew pull up the website? It was either yesterday or today. All right, so it's still on, folks. I don't know how much longer this is going to last, but it's absolutely huge. The buy one, get one sale for all VIP members. Go join the VIP club today. Even if you just joined for this month just to take advantage of this sale, we wouldn't blame you. It's $30 to join the VIP club. You immediately get $40 in store credit, and then you get that buy one, get one. You're basically paying $30 for $80 worth of product. And even that, it's on massive discount and super affordable anyway. So the product that you're getting is well worth it at full price. You're getting it like a quarter of the price. It's just an incredible discount. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Now I got a lot of videos to go to here, and we're going to get into just the way the Democrats are very openly and deliberately trying to destroy the family. But I want to go to this video first. It's clip number one. It's just, again, an illustration of just a whole variety of scams being run on the American people and how at the heart of it is usury. Let's go to clip number one, where a woman is showing that a $40,000 student loan ends up getting paid back for $118,000. What? Yeah, let's watch.
I'd like to know what type of crack Sallie Mae is smoking that they think for the amount of $40,922 they should receive back $118,305.59. Well, I understand that this is an estimated cost. The fact that they, for financing the money, they want $77,383.59 is asinine. Now, back in my day when I was in college, I don't even think I paid that much for the 4 years I went to school. So to think they should get that for 1 year of schooling is insane. And I get it. If this is the fixed interest rate, 13.500%, and then the APR is 13.474%. But then they got the audacity to tell me that to finance this $40,922, they should receive $77,303.59 is the most SMD.
Hey, you signed the paper, didn't you? Hey, you agreed for them to screw you over. I mean, sure, you were an 18-year-old kid, and you were assured that this was a necessary, you know, step. And, you know, school never used to cost that much until the government got involved. I should be a banker. Maybe I should just be a banker. Lend out $40,000 of someone else's money, and you get $70,000 for the privilege. That should be illegal. How is that legal, though? It shouldn't be. And I say the reason it shouldn't be is because there's absolutely no way in hell that that is a fair market price, right? You're telling me that nobody was willing to lend out $40,000 for anything less than $70,000 in interest? I don't believe that. I think that this is evidence of some sort of monopolistic or, you know, extortionary practice. It seems to me like if you went to a bank and said, can I get $40,000? I'll pay you back $50,000. That's a great deal. That's a 10% increase. That's pretty amazing, especially if it's backed by the government, especially if it can't be discharged through bankruptcy. Like student loans, I mean, who wouldn't take that guaranteed $10,000 for a measly $40,000 loan that isn't even your money anyway because you're loaning out money that's been deposited with you. So really, not a lot of risk, no risk practically, pure profit, $10,000. Who wouldn't make that deal? So how is it that the $70,000 deal was chosen? You see what I mean? You know, I'm not somebody that's super fluent on finances in general, let alone the usurious black magic of most debt prisons. That's how I see all of it. So maybe I'm missing something here, but it seems like to me there should be some form of competition where some people, you know, one bank would say, I'll offer you this rate, and another bank will say, I offer you this rate. And I cannot see a world in which the best rate available is you're going to pay back twice as much as we loan you over a short period of time. That's nonsense. That's just complete extortion. I don't understand how that could happen without deliberate malfeasance in a variety of different ways. But maybe I'm crazy. Maybe this is a great opportunity, right? You can make your own bank. And if you lend out money for anything less than just completely extortionate, usurious rates, then, you know, you'd snap up all that business. So you would think that would happen, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm just puzzling this out in my head, but is this not a great opportunity? I mean, those banks are making $70,000 off a $40,000 loan. I'd be happy if we made $40,000. We could undercut them almost by half and still double our money. Yeah, something criminal is happening here. Okay. So this isn't right. This isn't okay. This isn't just all the systems working as normal. No, this is evidence of a variety of crimes. All, you know, designed and deployed specifically to take advantage of the youngest, most vulnerable, most ignorant and naive people in the world, students who just don't know what the hell is going on and have been told over and over that it is an absolute necessity that they go to school and an absolute necessity that they pay for it out of pocket. Again, you look around America, and if there's one thing that should be abundantly clear by this point, it is that, you know, that classic phrase where they say, do not attribute to malice what can be explained by incompetence. That's not true. Like, look around America. It just, you know, clearly disproves that there's no way incompetence explains how we got to this point. It's just not possible. Because we're not incompetent. Because the people that built this country weren't incompetent. We didn't become incompetent, we didn't become incompetent either. We didn't become incompetent overnight and just forget how to do everything. And, you know, suddenly people are paying back $118,000 for a $40,000 loan they got when they were 18. This is malice. This is deliberate. This is evidence of and the outcome of decades of manipulation piling up on top of one another and eventually leading to this point where everybody's miserable and nobody can figure out what the hell to do about it because we're dealing with this legacy system that was designed to exploit, and extort you. So we gotta shatter this whole paradigm, and, you know, I don't know what it's gonna take, but a complete reset is necessary of one form or another. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. He stated, quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, In earlier times, it was easier to control a million people than to physically kill a million people. He said, but now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control, end quote.
It was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are diehard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that. You think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They say these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
Now, back to our program.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
A quick clip of Jim Brewer here, sort of set up the rest of the show. What he's talking about here is a ubiquitous phenomenon, you might say. And what he's talking about is the way that the media covers stuff. And again, we're going to go to this video because it's going to sort of inform everything else that we talk about. In other words, I can imagine a world, I believe it's possible, in which the media is the media, in which the news media just reports facts. I mean, wouldn't that be something? Could you imagine a world where that was the case? I don't think it's so fantastical. And when you think about what that world would look like, how they would cover things, it just emphasizes, really makes clear just how warped and insane our current media landscape is. And this is sort of the perfect example of it. Here's Jim Brewer ripping the mind control tactics of the fake news. Clip number 11. Let's watch.
Listen not to what she's saying, but listen to how they interrupt and the words they use.
Released in the months leading up to the November 2016 election,
wait,
concluded
this.
That Russia had neither the intent
ignore
nor capability
this.
To impact the outcome
doesn't matter.
Of the U.S. election.
Doesn't matter.
On December 5th.
We've been listening there to the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, continuing on what has now been a multi-day effort, not only with public statements like this, but release of documents to attempt to back up the quite extreme allegation.
In the attempt to give these extreme allegations, how do you not understand that is dipping in your mind and telling you what to think before you even have a moment to digest the situation? That is no different than I walk in and go, this person is attempting to give these outrageous allegations, and if you can't stand this person or you can't stand the other news, you're already all in. If I'm a liberal, I'm like, yeah, it's crazy allegations. It's just insane. That is called brainwashing. And if you're falling for it, you're being brainwashed. Listen to the words they use to manipulate your thoughts. Conspiracy.
In the assessment by the intelligence community at the time that Russia interfered in the 2016 election.
Multiple intelligence.
Listen again to the words they use. Are you ready? This is mind control. Right now someone's going, you need to interrupt the program. They're not reporters. CNN is not reporters. None of these new networks are reporting. They're telling you what to think.
I think as soon as you start to see that paradigm, you just see it everywhere. It's impossible to ignore. And it's impossible to even figure out, like, I mean, I guess it's just partisanship, but in some cases, the intelligence community comes out and says something. In most cases, 90% of cases, mainstream media are just stenographers for the intelligence community. The intelligence community says something, and that is the truth. And even if you have tangible, like, incontrovertible evidence that disproves them, it doesn't matter because they're the arbiters of truth, and the media will go with what they say, even if it contradicts their own observation, basic logic, common sense. It doesn't matter. The IC said it, therefore it is true, and you're not allowed to question it. Then the Director of National Intelligence, the head of the IC, comes out and says Russia collusion was a hoax, and here's the documentation verbatim in their own words, the people involved, the times, the actions. Here's the timeline of how it's laid out exactly. And the media goes, well, here's the Trump administration spreading their conspiracy theories. It's like, okay, why this then? Why is it that the intelligence community, which is always and forever being treated as the ultimate arbiters of truth, but now they're spreading conspiracy theories and not to be trusted, not to be looked at? We wouldn't be in this situation if Americans had just basic critical reading capabilities, which is ironic because it's the left. It's always talking about, you know, when you talk about critical race theory, this is all part of the same, you know, philosophical school, you know, reading things critically. You don't just take what people say. You think about who's saying it and why they might be saying it and what culture they were a part of that would inform the things that they're saying, so you can get a perspective and come to the truth. And now they usually deploy that because they basically want you to think that Homer was a racist, and so the Iliad should have black people starring in it or some other, you know, ridiculous culture war crap. But in reality, if you would just apply that basic syllabus, that basic, you know, matrix to any news report, it becomes unavoidably obvious that the powers that be in the mainstream media are just in on the scam and are just manipulating all of us to their own ends. And you can imagine a world, you can imagine a world where the DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, gets up and drops bombshell revelations about blatant treason committed at the highest levels of our government. And when the media comes back in, when the anchor interrupts her, he says, wow, the DNI just laid out some really bombshell information. This has some crazy implications, and we need to talk about this. And it looks like former presidents may have violated the law and broken our trust and done irreparable damage to the fabric of our democracy, because that is what was presented. That is actually what was presented. And if they actually were human beings with a soul in their body, that would be their reaction. But there's something that goes on that they're hypnotized, they're brainwashed, they're incapable of just absorbing facts in a objective way. They see everything through partisanship power games, and therefore the truth is always not just secondary, but often not even referenced or ever, you know, rises to the level of concern for them. It's just whatever they need to say, whatever they need to say, whenever they need to say it, about whatever. It doesn't matter. None of it matters to them. It's all just power games. Because, they have nothing to disprove anything that Tulsi Gabbard said. They had no reason to disbelieve her or think that she was, motivated by politics. But that's what they're going to project onto all of us, because that's just what they do. And that, is sort of the perfect intro to this whole redistricting scandal. Now, I'm happy to see Abbott and Paxton going after these Democrats. Again, as I was talking about this yesterday, I talked about this quite a bit. I mean, the Democrats are so brazen and flagrant in their criminality that really all you have to do is like pursue them, pressure them, just keep going on them. Because when you do something they don't like, they flip out and they do illegal things. So then you just arrest them for those illegal things. Right? So like right now, Texas is trying to redistrict some congressional maps. The Democrats are in the minority. They're not happy with what the majority wants. And so they're running away. And so they're refusing to participate. They would lose the vote. And so they're not participating in the vote. That is obviously completely antithetical to the very concept of democracy. Essentially, what they're doing is, as the fringe minority, they are imposing their beliefs on everybody else, even though the majority of the state voted for these representatives to do what they're doing. The Democrats decided they don't want to, and so they're, flipping the game board over. It's just petulant cheating. It's completely, again, it's antithetical to democracy itself. If democracy is the idea that the majority gets their way, which I'm not even a Democrat, but these people are, I'm a Republican, which means, the elected representatives should be the ones deciding on our behalf, and then we get to vote for whether we like how they are behaving or not. So either way, if you whether it's the Republican construct or the Democratic construct, either way, the right thing to do would be to pass these redistricting maps. But they don't actually care. They don't actually care. They're all for democracy. If it's in line with what they wanted to do anyway, then they'll act like they have, some sort of mandate to do something if they have the majority with them. If they don't have the majority with them, then suddenly it's mob rule, and they're going to stand up against the imposition from these, this unfair. They're the minority striking out and going to stand up for themselves. It's just completely asinine. And now all these other Democratic operatives in California and New York and everywhere else are just admitting that they are going to rig the maps on their behalf. California Democrats look to redraw House map to counter Texas GOP. So again, I don't even know what to say about this. Like, inside Texas Democrats plan to seek refuge with Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Yeah, arrest him too. Now, apparently Paxton has asked the FBI to help arrest these rogue, undemocratic, these insurrectionists. This is like a literal insurrection. So he sent out the FBI to sedition hunters to arrest the insurrectionist for this crime against democracy. We'd like to see that. I was like trying to think of an example of, you know, how like something in your life where this would be the case. And I, you know, I guess it's, I don't know. I really can't think of a good example. So the example I'm thinking of is like if you, you know, if you have a, there's a couple and like the wife thinks the husband's cheating on her. And so she goes out and cheats on him. And then like the husband finds out and is like, well, the hell you cheated on me. And she's like, well, you cheated on me. He's like, no, I didn't. She's like, but I thought you did. And he's like, but I didn't though. Like, I saw you with a woman. He was like, that was my cousin, you know, some misunderstanding. But then she then acts on and it's like, okay, so now you're the one that cheated and he's not, even though you acted as if you thought. See, I don't know if there's a good, like example of this, but they just, they project onto Republicans bad motives. And then they're like, so because we, you know, assert that you're doing this out of bad motives, then we are going to do this out of bad motives. This really isn't that complicated of a concept, but I don't know why they keep doing it. But then they keep doing it and they keep like getting away with it, and it's over and over and it's forever. They just do this constantly and it's infuriating. So the Republicans are not redrawing maps in some, you know, unfair way to deliberately exclude Democrats. And, you know, there's just nothing unfair or untoward or unnecessary about what the Texas Republicans are doing. They're redrawing districts because our state has changed significantly since the last time the districts were drawn. And the districts are already drawn in a completely haphazard and nonsensical way. So it's not even like they're defending a good system because a bad system's coming in. System's bad anyway. We're trying to make it better. They see that and go, actually, we're going to say that what you're doing is unfair. So now we're going to do an unfair thing in response to the thing that we say you're doing that's unfair, even though what you're doing is totally fair and lawful and not, you know, remotely objectionable, unless you just don't like what's happening. Which, this is a democracy. You vote, and then whoever wins the vote gets to implement their plan. That's the way it works. So just, you know, we can put everything else to the side. Just understand that the center of all of this is literally just that. That the Democrats would lose the vote, and so they ran away. That's all that's happening. They're unhappy with the results of democracy, so they've thrown a stick in the spokes of democracy. Everything they accuse us of, they are just doing right out in the open. And then doubling down on it by saying, not only are we going to just cheat. If the vote doesn't go our way, we're just going to run away so you can't vote. So we can't get anything done. So all the victims of the floods in Texas aren't going to get emergency relief because the Democrats refused to pass the bill. Like, just kick them out of office. Just kick them out of office. If their petulance, if their inability to behave like adults and actually engage in the system that they're a part of, that they cry endlessly about Trump is a threat to the system because he was on a reality TV show or whatever ridiculous crap they come up with. They're actually destroying the system and they're actually delaying potentially life-saving resources from people who have, you know, been affected by this disastrous flooding. So kick them out. Like if you're one of these people, it's like living in a tent, desperate to try to rebuild your home because of a variety of mistakes or malicious intent failures of the government, you know, completely, you know, failed to warn you about the flood that was coming, even though they knew about it, you know, failed to properly adjudicate floodplains. So you built somewhere that wasn't safe, according to government regulations. You're sitting there in a tent trying to get your life back together. And it's being delayed for months because the Democrats are petulant idiots that would rather quit than lose. Yeah, kick them out of office. Kick them out of office. Do what you need to do to pass this bill. Pass these bills. Don't let them get away with this. And pursue them. problems await Texas Democrats if they return. Again, the Democrats, it's like that meme where it's like, why do you give me your hardest battles, Jesus? And Jesus is like, your enemies are the most retarded people to have ever lived. You have the easiest battle to fight ever. The Democrats in this country, almost to a man, every single one of them, especially when they act in groups like this, criminal reprobates, like they just act completely lawlessly. And all we have to do to defeat them is just enforce the law. It really is that simple. Deport illegal immigrants. If a politician goes and interrupts ICE, throw them in jail. You've now, it's two for one, two birds with one stone. Every one of their petulant little outbursts can be immediately transformed into a win for Republicans. Every single time the Democrats act like obnoxious asses, donkeys. And then you arrest them for the crimes they commit. And then you don't have to worry about them anymore. They're in jail. You can put somebody else in their office that won't do that. And then you can just keep doing business as normal. This is just what we need to do. Okay. So if they run away because they don't want to lose a vote, then you just strip them of their power. Say better luck next time. And then they won't do that anymore. It's not that complicated. You throw them in jail if they commit a crime. Send the FBI after them. So Abbott and Paxton seem to be doing the right thing. Abbott Paxton will seek court orders to have Democrats who broke quorum thrown out of office. They announced Tuesday they're going to seek a court ruling declaring that State House Democrats who broke quorum and left the state have abandoned their offices. Governor Greg Abbott moved faster, filing an emergency petition with the Supreme Court of Texas to remove State Representative Gene Wu from office. He's the ringleader of all of this. And we can go to a video here, and you can see, I mean, they have no justification for what they're doing. There's no justification because it's very simple. They just don't want to lose the vote, so they ran away. And so when they're asked about this, they have to try to distract you by bringing up a whole bunch of stuff that is literally not even remotely, tangibly, tangentially related to what they're talking about. It's very funny. Let's go to clip number five here. CBS asked Texas Representative Ann Johnson if Democrats ran away from the fight. Her response was epic. Here's the epic response from the coward that ran away because they were losing. Let's watch.
You know that Republicans in the state, Republicans out of the state, look at what you guys are doing and thinking you're running away from the fight. You're running away from your jobs by not being in Austin today.
Yeah, no. Abandoning your job is going to Cancun in the middle of a deadly freeze, right? Cutting health care.
Let's pause it right there. What the hell does that have to do with anything? Now, your job is to vote on bills, and you are running away because you don't want to vote on the bill because you'd lose the vote. But now you're going to bring up Ted Cruz 5 years ago went to Cancun while Texas was freezing. What the hell does that have to do with anything? I'm telling you, if you're a Democrat, are you a dog? Do you have the brain of a dog? Are you a dog-brained individual? Because that's how they're treating you. Oh, I'm running away from my job. Well, but look at this bone. Look, a colorful bone. Took a colorful toy. Go get it. Like, you don't fall for this, do you? You're not that stupid. You aren't distracted by the squirrel there dangling in front of you. They abandoned their position. They abandoned their job. They don't want to do their job, so they ran away. And when asked about that, they're going to talk about Ted Cruz going to Cancun 5 years ago on vacation. You're not going to fall for that, are you? I mean, what does that even mean? Let's see what other bombshell. I mean, again, what did they say when they posted this? This is an epic response. So it was the first part of her epic response is to bring up something completely unrelated about a federal position, not a state position, about something that happened 5 years ago, and it wasn't even a real scandal when it happened because the man went on vacation during a weather disaster that he couldn't do anything to help with anyway. Ted Cruz was vacationing in Greece as floods devastated Texas. Okay. And what do they? Anyway. Well, while they run cover for, you know, the mayor of L.A., who actually, you know, fled to Ghana during this high fire season when they knew what the risk was and she had abandoned her, you know, actual post where she actually could have had some, beneficial impact on the way things rolled out. Like if she was there, orders could have been passed quicker to, you know, supply water in different ways. She's the one that, you know, kept the water tanks empty so there was no fire to fight with. And then they knew there was a super high fire risk when she left. So, but they'll completely cover for her. But because a completely random, totally unpredictable, totally out of nowhere, unprecedented, once in a 100-year, you know, flood hits an area in Texas when Ted Cruz just so happens to already be on vacation and he's a bad guy. Okay. Okay. They don't care, folks. Nothing these people say ever means anything. All right. So let's go back to the epic response from the lady who has just been confronted with the fact that she abandoned her position and fled. Her response so far is, well, Ted Cruz went on vacation to Cancun once. Great point, lady. Let's keep going.
Cancun in the middle of a deadly freeze, right? Abandoning your job is cutting health care when people need access. Abandoning your job is cutting public education when we already have one of the worst education systems in the nation. What we are doing
is that, what does any of this mean? Let's pause it. All right. Let's ignore the dumbass next to her, you know, nodding like anything she's saying means anything. What is he nodding? Like, what does this even mean? What are they even saying? How pathetic is this? No, running away from your job is having a different opinion on me than on education. Not only were Democrats not like embarrassed at this response, they clipped this out and posted it as an epic response to being asked why they're running away. The epic response is, well, Ted Cruz went on vacation one time 5 years ago, so, and I, you know, some people don't like education and don't want to give universal health care to everybody. What are we doing here? What is this? Kick them out of office, arrest them, and let's move on without these people just lying to us.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. Have you figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to theonlyshowstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Boost Your Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our ultramethylene blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check there's interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Shilajit, the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% humanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. here, your HHS secretary. At HHS, we have a division called the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARDA. BARDA drives some of our most advanced scientific research. It funds developments of vaccines, drugs, diagnostics, and other tools to fight emerging diseases and national health threats. Over the past few weeks, BARDA reviewed 22 mRNA vaccine development investments and began canceling them. Let me explain why. Most of these shots are for flu or COVID, but as the pandemic showed us, mRNA vaccines don't perform well against viruses that infect the upper respiratory tract. Here's the problem. mRNA only codes for a small part of the viral proteins, usually a single antigen. One mutation and the vaccine becomes ineffective. This dynamic drives a phenomenon called antigenic shift, meaning that the vaccine paradoxically encourages new mutations and can actually prolong pandemics as the virus constantly mutates to escape the protective effects of the vaccine. Millions of people, maybe even you or someone you know, caught the Omicron variant despite being vaccinated. That's because a single mutation can make mRNA vaccines ineffective. The same risk applies to flu. After reviewing the science and consulting top experts at NIH and FDA, HHS has determined that mRNA technology poses more risks than benefits for these respiratory viruses. That's why, after extensive review, BARDA has begun the process of terminating these 22 contracts, totaling just under $500 million. To replace the troubled mRNA programs, we're prioritizing the development of safer, broader vaccine strategies, like whole virus vaccines and novel platforms that don't collapse when viruses mutate. Let me be absolutely clear. HHS supports safe, effective vaccines for every American who wants them. That's why we're moving beyond the limitations of mRNA for respiratory viruses and investing in better solutions. Thank you.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The Trump administration just delivered big time via RFK Jr. Remember a few weeks ago, everybody got pissed at him. Two mRNA vaccines got approved. He said he was going to kill. Experimental gene therapies. He was on vacation. He came back, fired the people that did it. And he just banned all of them yesterday. 22 of them. $500 million contracts on their developments. So he's also moving to get the fluoride out, the poison dyes, I mean, you name it. He is hitting on all cylinders. And he's exposing all these hospitals that are killing people for their organs. I mean, it just goes on and on. RFK Jr. in the administration is delivering the most. And Tulsi Gabbard's an incredible job, Tom Homan, you name it. So, yeah, I've had big issues with some of the things Trump's done. I call balls and strikes, but I'm not throwing the baby out of the bathwater. This is revolutionary and very exciting. So God bless RFK Jr. Pray for him. And just to all of you that got Trump elected, congratulations, because they're dismantling so much of the globalist operation, cutting their funding to the NGOs. I mean, it just goes on and on. And now criminal referrals are being sent forward on the Obama Russia hoax coup plotters, Jack Smith, all of it. These aren't referrals. These are going for indictments with the grand juries. This is new. As I told you months ago, my sources are, they're going for it. So look for globalist fireworks. Look for globalist false flags. It's an incredible time to be alive. So much opportunity. And again, Trump's constituency, the base, is holding the agenda's feet to the fire. And when bad guys, the administration, go sideways on things like Pam Bondi, I don't think she's overall bad, but, you know, blocking fluoride being removed from the water, that's going to get overridden. So this is very exciting. So just stay focused. This is a time of major global awakening, not just here, but all over the planet. Follow me on X Real Ox Jones, Infowars.com/show. I'll be on the air today, 11 a.m. Central, bringing all this down and more. Harris and Smith kicks off at 8 a.m. in about 20 minutes with American Journal, Infowars.com/show. And of course, Real Alex Jones on X. Be sure to check out that show. It's going to be powerful. Thank you.
Share those links, folks, at Real Alex Jones. We'll be back on the other side talking about, again, the Texas Democrats. Gary Franchi from Next News Network, he found him. Stay tuned.
This is a major alert for the AlexJonesShow.com. I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to get the biggest deals ever if you're a VIP. It's $30 a month. You get $40 for the store, special deals, special offers, special savings. And you don't just get one bottle of the supplements like Methylene Blue, get one free. You also can buy one of our amazing Richardson hats with Patriot logos and messages on it, or either T-shirts or other apparel, and get one absolutely free. I mean, this is an incredible deal. Now, this is a fundraiser shirt, but with this, we mark it up, limited edition, InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, murdered out, limited edition. We're only putting the shirt out for a few months. Get your limited edition, murdered out, historic InfoWars shirt, and know you fought on the tip of the spear. It's an adventure to wear this shirt in public. Find it all right now. Biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for your support because we cannot do this without you.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The American Journal. Second hour is on infowars.com/show, band.video. So a lot more to cover today. I want to talk about some of the backlash to congressional leader Mike Johnson in Israel endorsing the West Bank settlements and the ethnocide of Arabs from that region. That's causing a bit of a kerfuffle. We're also going to talk about, of course, the war on the family that the left is waging, as well as the well, one of the only aspects of Trump's administration that is consistently racking up tangible victories, which is RFK Jr. and the Health and Human Services contingent doing things like banning mRNA and removing COVID from the childhood vaccine schedule, amongst other things. So still a lot to talk about today. But sticking with this this story of the runaway scrape, which that should be a question for any of these Texas Democrats. If anybody has a chance to interview them, ask them if they know what the runaway scrape is. If they don't, they should have to vacate their office anyway. I'm surprised I haven't seen that pun made recently, but people don't know Texas history, so what are you going to do? Abbott and Paxton are seeking orders to both arrest them. Paxton's actually asked the FBI to go after these guys, and Abbott is asking a court to basically vacate their seats. Now, in response to this, Wu, one of the ringleaders, issued his own statement defending his and his Democrat colleagues' actions in hitting back at Abbott, saying, quote, denying the governor a quorum, it was not an abandonment of my office, it was a fulfillment of my oath. Ah, yes. Yes, the oath you took to not vote on bills. The oath you took to just completely destroy everything and break everything and not actually participate in the process so no actual business could be done so the state heads towards insolvency and bankruptcy. Is that what you took your oath to do, scumbag? Like, again, how they're framing this as I'm fulfilling my oath. Yeah, these people, they just say things, man. It just doesn't mean anything. Unable to defend his corrupt agenda on its merits, Greg Abbott now desperately seeks to silence dissent by removing a duly elected official from office. He didn't remove you. You left, dumbass. No, you ran away. You left. You have abandoned your post. It's like unable to defend his agenda. No. I guess if you didn't know anything, some of these statements could make sense to you. They don't make any sense, though. But if you actually know what's going on, none of this means anything. Governor Abbott is not, like, on the back heel. He's not the one, you know, being asked to justify his agenda. There are bills on the floor. They need to be voted on. You guys would lose the vote. You knew you were going to lose the vote, so you ran away instead. Just like Bowman pulling the fire alarm to avoid a vote that they didn't like. It's actually almost exactly the same tactic they're using here. Right? Remember Representative Bowman? There's some, you know, vote that was about to happen that they were going to lose. And so he pulled the fire alarm to stop the vote from happening and then acted like he didn't know what the fire alarm was. This is what Democrats do. Rep. Bowman charged with pulling fire alarm in House office building when there wasn't an emergency. No, the emergency was they didn't want to lose the vote, so they flipped the game board over. This is what they do. They don't participate in good faith. They don't actually care about democracy. They don't actually care about the system that they, you know, will throw you in jail for 20 years for offending. It doesn't matter to them. None of this matters to any of them. They're all liars. So again, he's trying to frame this as if Abbott is trying to defend his agenda. So now he's trying to silence dissent by rejecting people from office, but you guys ran away and aren't participating. He says history will judge this moment. It will show a governor who used the law as a weapon to silence his people, and it will show those of us who stood for a higher principle. The higher principle of what? Being petulant babies that won't participate if you can't win? That will speak endlessly about the superlative authority of the people and the majority and our sacred democracy, but the minute it goes against you, it can all just be thrown out the window. That when it's something that you want is given to you by the system is sacred, and even questioning it makes you a terrorist. But the instant that the system provides an answer you don't want to hear, now you're the hero that's upholding your oath by running away to Illinois. Great. Just pathetic. I love it. He showed a governor who used the law as a weapon to silence his people. Yeah, when they break the law, that's what it's for. So it is lawful. So what he's doing is lawful is what you're saying. He's using the law for its intended purpose to punish those who break it. And you're breaking the law. And so now because you're breaking the law, you're now saying he's using the law to silence you when in reality, you wouldn't be silenced if you weren't breaking the law. In fact, you could no longer be silenced. You could retain your seat by simply going back to Austin today. So just like, you know, when they cry about like immigrants at Alligator Alcatraz, it's like, dude, you should have just gone back to El Salvador. At any point, at any moment in the last 20 years, you could have just gone home. At any point in the last month, you could have just gone home. We are doing everything we possibly can to not put you in prison. We just want you to go home, but you persist in breaking the law, so eventually we have to punish you. Same with these guys. It's like they're crying foul and, oh, they're going to kick us out of our seat and they're abusing us. And it's like, just go back. Just go back. These are like, they're like the horses that can get led around without reins. It's like there's nothing stopping you from no longer breaking the law. Just go back. How does anybody have, like, you know, sympathy for these people? They're literally just refusing to do the thing that they took an oath to do. Even under the threat of arrest, they're just refusing to go back home. This is just so stupid. The petition that Abbott filed says this: what is at stake here? Nothing less than the future of Texas. If a small fraction of recalcitrant lawmakers choose to run out the clock today, they can do so for any and every regular special session, potentially bankrupting the state in an attempt to get their way. How would this country function if this is the way that people acted? How could we have a Republican or a Democratic system if this is the way that everybody acted? If every time the Republicans were going to lose a vote, they just left and denied a quorum and shut down the whole government. If every time the Democrats weren't going to get their way, they all just ran away and made a big media spectacle out of it, halted all business, and then claimed to be the victims. No, you can't do this. You're not allowed to do this. And if they get away with this, like, is, and there's a lot of these kinds of situations where I have the feeling what this is going to be is eventually just going to not be getting as many headlines, and they're just going to go, this is just going to quietly fade away. If I had to guess the way these things always go, is it just kind of quietly fades away and the Democrats eventually just come back and they, you know, have to pass the bill anyway, and it all kind of comes to nothing. And that's that. What they've already done. They are already guilty of breaking the law. So they need to go to jail. Like, this can't be a situation where, like, they're allowed to break the law, and then when they stop breaking the law, we act like they never broke the law. No, they broke the law. They have to be held accountable for it. Even if they go back now. Even if they come home now. They've already broken the law. And nobody's supposed to be above the law. I don't know why I would get a ticket for going 2 miles an hour over the speed limit, and these people can basically withhold emergency relief funds from flood victims for a month while they make a big spectacle out of their ridiculous resistance to the rule of law. There cannot be, you know, two laws here. And just because they're elected officials, they have broken the law. They are breaking the law at this moment. And tell me another situation where it's like, oh, well, he was a drug dealer, but then he stopped dealing drugs, so now we're not going to punish him. Like, no, but he still committed those crimes. Those are still on the books. Crime is not something that, like, they, you know, if you stop doing it, it goes away. No, you were already doing the crime, so they need to be arrested. And I just pray to God it doesn't end up like I just laid out, where it's just, you know, in a week they all just go home and it's like nothing comes of it. They have to be taught a lesson. For the love of God, all of these Democrats all over the country have to be put in their place and or disenfranchised entirely. It's actually the only option. And it's all perfectly legal. Everything he's doing is perfectly legal. This is how it works. Abbott signals the path that he and Paxton would pursue late Sunday, a few hours after Democrats announced the quorum break. Abbott pointed to an opinion Paxton issued after Democrats last broke quorum during a special session in 2021. That ruling held that a court would have to determine if a legislator has forfeited his or her office by abandonment. That empowers me, this is from Governor Abbott, quote, that empowers me to swiftly fill vacancies under Article 3, Section 13 of the Texas Constitution. Abbott put out in his own statement, getting court approvals for such declaration is not automatic and is likely to be time consuming. The current special session ends August 19th, but the governor can call as many special sessions as he wishes under the state constitution. Whether Abbott can in fact name the replacements for elected members of the state legislature is open to dispute. Charles Rhodes, a constitutional law professor at the University of Missouri Law School, said flatly that it's not in Abbott's power. But there's got to be a way to do it. And either way, I mean, maybe you just don't replace him with anybody and they just get removed from the role for this session. Regardless, they can't keep getting away with this. They can't keep just doing whatever the hell they want, whenever the hell they want, in complete flagrant disregard of the rules and function of the office that they've taken an oath to uphold. So, you know, I was joking about it in the beginning, but only insofar as it just emphasizes the continuing examples, the many, many examples we have of the ongoing just complete disregard for lawful activity that the Democrats have. We're all saying, yeah, we'll just do mail-in ballots. And, you know, the legislatures can stay in Illinois and we'll just count whatever ballots get mailed in their name. And if they complain about it, then we'll call them conspiracy theorists. We'll allow them to fill out their own ballot and then we'll throw that ballot in the trash and we'll count the one that was sent in. You know, just like the 2020 election was carried out. We'll carry out legislative votes exactly like the 2020 election, and it will be completely impossible to even tell whether or not the vote was rigged, because that's the way the Democrats do things when they're in charge. And so maybe we should take a lesson from them. That's the way to do it. Mail-in ballots, and then we can just fill them out ourselves, send them in. There'll be absolutely no way to confirm or deny whether that vote was legitimate, and so we just have to count it. Sorry. This is what you taught us to do, so let's do that. Now, California and New York are both, you know, pointing at Texas, simply trying to redistrict and saying, now we're going to rig our districts. They have asked the FBI to help arrest these people. J.B. Pritzker claims Texas redistricting is cheating because they're afraid of losing the 2026 midterms. Okay. I guess he's just asserting that. Again, they have nothing to, nothing to point to this actually being true. They're just, you know, mad this is the case. In fact, I had a video yesterday of, Jasmine Crockett talking about this. And she's literally complaining that they're putting too many black people in her district. They're like, she's like, they're talking about changing this district where I have more black people, but less industries in my district. It's like, okay, so what is a district exactly? Isn't the idea that you're supposed to have people that are similar to each other in the same district, more or less? And so you're complaining not that this redistricting is somehow unfairly, you know, bifurcating communities or whatever. It's just that you just want the money that comes with having a bunch of industries in your district, and you're mad that's going to be taken out of your district. Again, it's not principle. It's not, it's just nothing. These people just, it's just pure power, 100% all the time. That's all they care about. They're evil, and that's all there is to it. Runaway Texas Democrat lawmakers and the law that could theoretically remove them from office. It's a little known, little used legal remedy known as quo warranto, which could theoretically be used to remove lawmakers from office. However, there's strong opposition to the governor invoking the law this way. And here's my point. Here's my point of all of this and everything that we talk about. The strategy is very, 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 very simple here. And this applies just about like across the board to everything. And it's simply this. Do it anyway, and then let them fight you. That's it. That's the answer to all of this. The thing keeping us back is that Republicans, in particular, are constantly terrified of, like, breaking the law or doing something that's not exactly, you know, perfect. And so they withhold themselves. They keep themselves back. The Democrats have a much better philosophy. It's do whatever you possibly can and then make them stop you. So that's the answer here. It's not even to this instance in particular, just strategically, the shift needs to happen to where Republicans just do what they think they might be able to do. Just do it. And then if the Democrats think it's illegal, think it's not what you should be able to do, then they can file lawsuits. They can try to stop you. They can do workarounds. They can try to play defense and we can play offense. Instead, it's stuff like this where, you know, it's like, well, you know, under Texas law, lawmakers are permitted to break quorum by fleeing. So, you know, maybe we can't. And, you know, this would set a dangerous precedent allowing governors from majority parties to vacate the seats of lawmakers who oppose them. That's not really what's happening, though, because they did leave the office. They literally just have to come back. There's something that's preventing them from coming back. So as long as this could just be used any time. And so you're going to have a bunch of, you know, Texas Republicans going, ah, gee, I don't know if we can do this or not. I don't know if we're allowed to do. Let's figure out if we're allowed to do this. Tell you what. The thing that determines whether or not you're allowed to do it is whether you do it or not. Okay. The thing that determines whether Democrats are allowed to completely forestall government operation and, you know, selfishly break quorum. Like, they're just doing that right now. They're not allowed to, but they are doing it. And if they don't go to jail, then that's what they're allowed to do. Then that's the precedent. And now it's set. And that's what they'll do from now on. It's just the way where, so you are creating precedent constantly every day that we do whatever we do. So the precedent needs to be Governor Greg Abbott needs to go, all right, I'm hereby removing these people from the legislature. I'm going to replace them with these people. And then the ball's in their court. And if they don't like that, then they can try to fight it somehow. Just don't be the one doing their job for them. Instead, we're going to have Governor Abbott being like, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. So I don't know. I think I'll ask a court if I'm allowed to. And maybe a couple months from now when this, you know, emergency situation is long expired, you know, maybe we'll get an answer. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it and then make them stop you. That's the solution to all of our problems. Do the thing that we have to do and then let the Democrats fight you. Let them fight you in court. Let them fight you in the streets. Let them try to, you know, vote differently next time, but just do it. First remove them, then they can try to fight you. But stop doing their job for them. It's really not that complicated. Now, the plane that carried Texas Democrats to Illinois was funded by Beto O'Rourke's super PAC. Beto O'Rourke's PAC apparently paid for it. This makes sense when you consider that O'Rourke has run for almost every possible office in Texas except dog catcher and lost every single time. Beto probably jumped at the chance to help these Democrats. The news is certainly not going to help their cause with Texas voters, since everybody hates Beto and denies him constantly, and how he, you know, lied about not taking any money from super PACs when all of his money came directly from gigantic super PACs. Congressional Dems and the Soros-backed Texas Majority PAC are also in the mix, as this is all just various aspects of the Soros-centered plan to turn Texas blue by swamping us with illegal immigrants to dilute our demographics, and ethnically replace the white people that built this state with people that will vote Democrat because they've never been American and do not hold the values of Americans. And this is just, you know, part of this attempt, because they know that if Texas falls to the Democrats, that's it for America. That's it for America, because if Texas goes Democrat, no Republican president will ever be elected again, and we'll just be a one-party country from then on out. So they are desperately targeting Texas in a variety of different ways, and their overextension of themselves in this regard opens them up for a brilliant counterattack, where you just throw these people in prison, and maybe you even go after Beto O'Rourke's PAC for being an accessory before the fact. Now I'm going to go to clip 19 here for a few minutes, but basically all these Republicans have run away and are hiding, but Gary Franchi from the Next News Network found them. He found where they're hiding. It's a place called the Q Center in Illinois. He witnessed firsthand this location being a secure hideout for Texas Democrats, including Representative Jasmine Crockett and Representative Al Green. He was at the Q Center. He personally saw the guest manifest. He saw Representative Crockett's name on the list, and he even asked if Al Green and Jasmine Crockett were there, and they told him they were. So we can go to clip 19 first, and we'll go to his other video here. But yeah, good job on Gary Franchi from Next News Network tracking these people down and confirming their location. So if the FBI wants to go after them, there's no excuse not to now. We know exactly where they are. Go arrest them. Go arrest these people. No excuses. You know where they are. They're breaking the law. Go arrest them today. Now they should be in handcuffs by this afternoon. There is no excuse. Here's Gary Franchi. Let's watch.
It's just after 11 a.m. here in St. Charles, Illinois, and I'm standing outside the heavily guarded entrance of the Q Center, a facility that now resembles a political bunker more than a hotel. I'm Gary Franchi. I'm the chief White House correspondent for the Next News Network on a special assignment investigating a stunning development. Democrat fugitives from Texas are now holed up inside this compound, using it as their base of operations to sabotage the democratic process they were elected to participate in. After approaching the gates and being denied entry, the security officer in the gate behind me revealed that Jasmine Crockett, Representative Al Green, are in fact holed up inside. And I did see the guest manifest and can confirm with 100% clarity that those names are among others that are here being harbored under the deep-fried protection of Governor J.B. Pritzker, who's aiding and abetting these.
That's Gary Franchi. He tracked him down. He's camping outside.
I'm cutting this on July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to take advantage of one of the biggest sales in the history, theolicshowstore.com. If you buy any of our amazing supplements, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of the great products are there right now. Buy one already discounted, get the very same bottle, the very same product, absolutely free, but it's only running for 7 days. When you're a VIP for $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special discounts, and more. That's how you take advantage of the buy one, get one free. This is only for VIP members, but anybody going to the store should be a VIP, because you get $40 for subscribing for $30 a month. You make money on that, and you can cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for your support.
Mm.
to thealexjonesstore.com and get this methylene blue. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this is the best product you guys have ever had. It's just absolutely fantastic.
It's insane.
Take me an hour to explain why. Just go and buy it. I'm expecting 2 bottles tomorrow.
Absolutely. I want to tell the audience a little bit about what to experience on Methylene Blue. I know we've talked about it incessantly. We've had basically every guest take it. We've run ad after ad after ad for it. Talk to your doctor. But as long as you're not on SSRIs, this could be the best thing that you've ever taken. A lot of stuff that's good for you. You take it, and it is good for you, but you don't necessarily feel it. Take B12 every single day. You might not necessarily feel it. Maybe if it builds up in your system, you'll start noticing that you have more energy and you're getting sick less often. I understand, but Methylene Blue is one of the few products over the counter out there that you will physically feel within 30 minutes, unless you have supernatural mitochondrial health. And it's not just the way that your body feels, even though there are sensations. It's the way that your state of mind completely changes. It doesn't make you a different person. You just realize that your thoughts are more organized, that a veil is lifted, that you have clarity of focus, that you have more energy, but you're not jittery, that there's no crash, that you could still go to sleep if you wanted to, but you don't feel like you're falling asleep every single day. I mean, Methylene Blue is something that I will take for the rest of my life. And you can look into all the studies and the conversations from RFK Jr. to Mel Gibson to Chase Hughes. They've done studies on the effects of Methylene Blue where people take it and then they do red light therapy and the benefits are just absolutely astounding. You're absorbing more oxygen. Your mitochondria are totally fired up. Your body is absorbing more energy from the sun itself. It's like super chlorophyll for a human body. And you'll feel better, and you'll feel the hot blood running through your veins, and you'll understand that you're focused, that you have more energy, and you won't be jittery, and there isn't a come down. It helps your body absorb more of the oxygen that you breathe in. Literally the stuff that life is made of. Isn't it said in Genesis that God breathed life into Adam? Well, this makes you be able to make the most out of God's breath into you. And look, our whole purpose on this earth is to honor God. We are his creation. And so what better way to honor him than becoming the best versions of ourselves? It's called self-actualization. When you actually become all you can potentially become. And our bodily health is part of that. Our intellectual health, our mind health is part of that. And then the good that we do in the world is part of that. And so by going to thealexjonesstore.com right now and getting Methylene Blue, you're fighting for your body and your mind and for humanity at the same time. You're doing what God calls all of us to do. Methylene Blue will be one of the best decisions that you ever make.
It's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. You know, as we talk about the Democrats running away because they weren't going to win the vote they were obliged to participate in, their response, while being completely, you know, unrelated to the question that they're asked, is always the same. It's a little strange. Just a little bizarre. Right? This is the type of mind control. I don't even know what really to call it. Like, what's happening here? People keep asking about why the Democrats are breaking the rules and breaking quorum and running away rather than participate in the vote. And every time they come back by saying healthcare should be free. What is happening? What is this? What do they think is going on? What's happening in their brains? Somebody help me get my mind around this. They keep being asked why they broke quorum over redistricting maps, and their response 100% of the time is, but healthcare should be free though. Okay. Would you like to, did you mishear the question? What do you think is happening? What do you think we're talking about right now? And why, whether it's Governor J.B. Pritzker or Gavin Newsom or the Texas representatives themselves who fled, why is it that every time I've seen them asked about this, their first response is to say, you're denying health care for people who need it? It doesn't make any sense. It's weird that they do this. Type of biting commentary you get here. Can somebody explain it to me, though? I don't need to explain it. It's obvious, right? They have nothing. They have no argument. It doesn't matter what it is. Their only argument back is, but you're killing people, though. I can't be expected to actually explain or defend my position. All I need to do is assert, without evidence or even logical consistency or any sort of justification for saying it whatsoever, that Republicans want people dead. And then I don't have to explain anything or believe anything or understand anything or justify any of my actions. It's just whatever you want to know from me, the answer is Republicans want to deny health care from people, meaning Republicans want sick people to stay sick because they're evil and bad. And so what do you ask me a question about again? Do they do this in their personal life? Can you imagine being married to one of these people? Honey, why are you throwing your socks on the floor when the hamper's right there? Can you not just put them in the hamper? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you didn't want health care for poor people. You're trying to deny health care for poor people? No, that has literally nothing to do with anything that we're talking about. Why are you saying it? Why do they all say it? Doesn't make any sense. You know why it especially doesn't make any sense? Because the policy they're pushing under the guise of they're loving and Republicans want everybody to die is an awful policy that kills everyone. This is the ultimate irony of this. We don't have to speculate. I don't have to make economic arguments. I'm going to read some personal accounts now of what it's like living under the most successful, well-established, long-lasting, and globally celebrated government healthcare system, the NHS. Okay? This is the best of the best. You can't get better than this. It's so good, the entire country of the UK is killing itself rather than reform it. That's how good it is. Okay? And lucky for us, a Brit out there at Brugaloo underscore on X asked his followers, share some lore about the time the NHS tried to kill you or someone you love. Now, actually, early on in my InfoWars career, I did a funny report on this called Thank You for Using the NHS. Sorry You Went Blind and Died. Because there were these stories of like thousands of people that the NHS, through sheer incompetence, either blinded or killed or both. And it's just gone on for years. Like, just every year or so, there's some new thing that's like crops up. It's like, oh yeah, oops. The NHS has been running this program that's been, you know, issuing do not resuscitate orders on retarded people. Whoops, whoopsies. We've been killing retarded people on a regular basis. Sorry. Okay, so this is every time the Democrats are questioned about anything, any of their criminality, any of their hypocrisies, just anything, their only response so far today, and again, literally, Governor Pritzker, Gavin Newsom, all of the Texas Democrats, what they say when they're questioned about their criminal activity is, well, healthcare should be government funded. Okay, take your headphones out. We're asking you a question here. We don't know what you think is going on. And so here's the result of, this is what they want. This is their government. This is what they are demanding. This is the only thing they care about. Let's read some examples, shall we? My uncle went in for a knee operation and they accidentally punctured his kidney with the epidural. Instead of admitting their mistake and trying to solve the problem, they hit it and had him euthanized like a dog. It took 6 years for them to admit it and say sorry. He actually links to a Cornwall Live news story here confirming that it's true. We're not just taking his word for it. More incompetence than intent to kill, but my nan was misdiagnosed for a year. They kept telling her she had bladder infections. None of the treatments ever worked. Then they realized the entire time she'd actually had liver cancer. They sent her home from the hospital with some ibuprofen. She died in excruciating pain a week later. Nina Kai. My son had a tongue tie so severe that he basically couldn't feed. Not one of the 10 people who interacted with him after his birth bothered to look at his mouth. If I hadn't had a private midwife and then a private lactation consultant to snip it, I no doubt he would have died. That baby would have starved to death if they hadn't gone to a private provider. They screwed up the anesthetic for my brother's appendectomy, causing him to aspirate pink froth, meaning he had some form of internal bleeding. It took him 3 days to wake up from what should have been a simple operation, and at points they weren't sure he was going to pull through. A woman named Cassandra says, my sister had 3 missed cancer diagnoses from smear tests, hysterectomy, and chemo. Currently suing. She worked her entire life for the NHS. Dad had his melanoma undiagnosed for years. GP eventually apologized. He died at 70. My 8-month pregnant aunt attended the GP and ED 7 times with severe abdominal pain. She was dismissed as an anxious first-time mom and even berated about her repeat attendances. Her appendix burst. She went into labor, and her baby girl died an hour after birth. My wife's granddad had just died. My stepmom and my friend's wife are close to dying from cancers that were misdiagnosed variously as growths, polyps, thyroid issue. I'm going to lose 3 people, including 2 close family members, this year as a result of 3 separate hospitals' utter failures. And it just goes on and on. There's literally thousands of these. And every single one of them is pretty much, you know, deliberate malfeasance, including ones like this. African NHS midwife denied my wife as was having advanced contractions, got annoyed with her, and put her to sleep with a sedative. Said she'd be back in 3 hours, but instead just went home without telling anyone we were there. My wife woke up pushing. I had to help her down to the labor floor. A young Irish midwife ran to help us, kept yelling at an African who idly popped in and out with the wrong instruments, eventually gave up and handled the risky delivery herself. Afterwards, African number 2 kept telling us her name. She wanted us to name the baby after her. We were then told that my wife had been given the wrong meds, so we had to be kept in the hospital for 3 days for monitoring. Patients in the postnatal unit were entirely foreign. A night in, we were told somebody was being quarantined for tuberculosis. After that, my wife tried to pay for her hospital care. The hospital calf stepped patronizingly telling her that healthcare is free in the UK, but she absolutely had to pay for it under the terms of her visa, but it took weeks to find a person who could process it. We tried to file a complaint against the African midwife who'd sedated my wife and then abandoned her on the ward without telling anyone. The hospital dismissively insisted she'd done nothing wrong, and we gave up. I questioned their motives. And this is a big issue. This is a big issue because turns out the UK accepts medical certification from third world countries with no adequate medical infrastructure. So this isn't just like a racist comment that, oh, it was an African woman, therefore it was bad. No, the foreign doctors in the UK are not certified under UK universities. They come from Timbuktu with a piece of paper that says, I'm a doctor, and the UK says, here's your white coat. And then they don't know what the hell they're doing, and then it gets covered up. Because what happens is when you have incompetent doctors coming from Africa, then all the stats show that, gee, it looks like black doctors have significantly higher death rates than white doctors. That must be racism, because any inequality in statistics by race must be racism. There is no other explanation for it. And then they'll start fudging the numbers or like give more benefits to the African doctors on the assumption that it must be racism that's making them underperform. And so you get this sort of cyclical feedback loop of incompetent doctors coming from foreign countries, hurting and killing patients in the UK at NHS, then them doubling down on diversity under the false and utterly asinine assumption that it's racism that's causing people to, say, not want foreign doctors to treat them because they keep killing everybody. I'm not just saying that. I've got statistics to back it up. But we can continue on these other quotes. I mean, it does just go on and on. 6-year waiting list for a first appointment. Waiting times. There's a high demand for appointments, which is common across other gender identity clinics around the UK. Number of people on the waiting list, 17,000. Number of referrals received this month, 352. We're currently offering first appointments to people referred in September of 2019. This is the most recent data from June 3rd, 2025. And they're just now seeing people from 2019.
Oh, they just don't want people to have health care. Oh, these big bad Republicans, they just want to deny health care to poor people.
Yeah, you can get government health care. They'll put you on a waiting list for 6 months, misdiagnose you, and then kill you. And then give you, you know, an undesired, yet somehow voluntary suicide. Thanks, guys. Gee, couldn't we be more like Canada? Where their number one cause of death is doctor-assisted suicide. All right, so 6 months for a appointment, that's not bad. Now, of course, if you're a foreigner in the UK, as we reported before, they actually have dedicated dentists and doctors who visit them in the hotels where they're, you know, staying for free every week, guaranteeing that they always and immediately have government health care. Even if they don't need it, it's there on call available for them. But if you're a UK citizen that was born there, if you're one of these despicable white people, then, you know, 6 years from now, maybe we can get around to seeing you. Sorry you went blind and died. Sorry. The NHS managed to plaster my leg, give him a cast, after surgery without washing the dirt from my bike crash off. They trapped dirt in an open wound. I was infected with pseudonomas, and spent 11 months in the hospital. I was put in an HIA side bay with five other guys. I was the only one who survived. Yeah. Okay, so how is this minority's fault? Well, let's get into it. After reading this, I decided to examine all 345 non-duplicate medical malpractice cases committed in the last year on the MPTS website, figure out how many were trained in the UK and Ireland, and how many were foreign trained. Disclaimer, this research is not going to be 100% sound, but it's as close as I can get. It's all coming from what country they studied in, and therefore, there are some quite foreign-sounding names that are down as UK, Ireland, because they received their medical degree here. Says I can evaluate that 61% of malpractice cases examined were committed by non-UK trained doctors. This compares to just 39% for UK trained doctors. So significantly more than half of the malpractice cases involve foreign trained doctors, which of course is completely, you know, overrepresentative. You don't have 61% of the doctors in the NHS from non-UK hospitals. Now, maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe we look that up. Oh, no, it's only 37%. Okay, so only 37% of doctors in Britain gained their qualifications from non-UK universities. So 37% of doctors commit 61% of the malpractice cases. And other people, you know, are commenting on this saying, basically, yeah, like, you know, some countries just like run this as an operation, because they know that if you say you're a doctor, you're going to get into the UK even faster and with more benefits. So, you know, they'll train somebody as a doctor in, you know, wherever, the Congo, and then send them to the UK, and they get put as an NHS operator, and then everybody's too scared to tell them that they're incompetent because you'll be called a racist. Maybe you'll be sent to jail for daring to suggest that the African guy maybe isn't a real doctor after all. How dare you? The majority of medical malpractice cases involve foreign trained doctors. A breakdown of 209 cases from the Medical Practitioners Tribunal Service, where the accused trained outside of the UK evaluating malpractice tribunals from 2023 through 2024. 22% of them come from India, 16% of them come from Pakistan, 12% of them come from the Middle East, excluding Egypt. 11% come from Egypt. 11% come from Africa, Eastern Europe, Central Europe, and other. This breakdown highlights the top seven regions and countries where doctors who commit malpractice receive their qualifications from. Once you get past the top six, there's a lot of countries where there's only one case, so it didn't make sense to include them all. But it shows you here that, yeah, despite being a minority of the doctors, foreign doctors commit a majority of the medical malpractice cases. And they really do just go on and on. And there's like just infinite numbers of stories. If you just go look at the quote tweets, This is funny from Gravantes. Every U.S. medical horror story is about how large the bill is at the end. Every U.K. NHS horror story is some variation of, I was suffering from constant headaches, so I went to the doctor, and he took my liver and amputated my right foot. It's true. A family friend went in for a stomach-related surgery, and they ended up cutting her fallopian tubes, making her infertile at the age of 22. Grandma went in healthy, living independently with a varicose vein pre-COVID. They tried to put her on a gurney, dropped her, shattered her leg. She ended up amputating it, went into shock-induced dementia, and died without ever recognizing me again within weeks. So if you don't want that, it's because you hate poor people, right? If you don't want to give up our system of healthcare, which, by the way, can you imagine our system? In fact, you know what? We'll do it now. Since we're on healthcare, I wasn't planning on spending a lot of time on this, but since we're on it, since we're here and enjoying ourselves, let's indulge, and we'll go to a video of a nurse talking about exactly what we're covering, the absolute failure of the NHS or Canadian or anything else to deal with the issues, and then what the real problem is at American hospitals. The real problem at American hospitals is not incompetent doctors. It's not an overwhelmed system. It's illegal immigrants. The hospital in Denver almost had to shut down and had to get a federal bailout because of the sheer number of illegal immigrants choking its halls constantly because they get free health care. And because if you've got the sniffles, might as well go to the ER. You're not paying for it. What do you care? And here's a doctor from L.A., clip number 20, talking about what the ER has been like since the deportation sweeps have hit California. Let's watch.
My 12-hour shift at one of LA County's easiest hospitals and ERs, and you guys, our waiting room is just empty, like four patients max, like every hour. And as much as a healthcare worker enjoys a slow day, it's actually pretty scary. Like, I know that a lot of patients are just scared to seek medical care right now, and it's just really sad, the circumstances that we are in right now. And it just scares me for the results of this after, because a lot of patients are going to hold off to not seek medical care, and they're going to come back 10 times sicker. And I just want to urge anybody who has any family members who are experiencing any serious symptoms to encourage them to seek medical care. Hospitals are supposed to be safe spaces, and we are there to protect our patients and care for them regardless of who they are, where they are, and where they come from. So this is just a PSA. Please, please, please educate anybody who is scared to seek medical care to seek it if necessary. And don't wait.
It's not worth it. Don't wait. I agree. If you're concerned, you've got to go seek health care immediately in the country where you're from. Okay, don't avoid the hospital out of fear of deportation and just let yourself get worse and worse. Go now to the closest hospital in the country of your origin. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. You think anybody's actually upset about this? It's like, oh my gosh, oh dear. Oh, what has Trump done? Suddenly I don't have to wait for hours in the ER. Wait, you're telling me that if I break a bone, I'll be able to go and be immediately seen and not have to sit in agonizing pain while surrounded by a bunch of coughing, spewing foreigners getting free healthcare on my money? Oh, dear, whatever are we going to do? Oh, it's so scary. It's so scary knowing that the infinite number of, overweight Mexican people with heartburn aren't going to be choking up my ER. Gosh, how will I ever live with myself? If this was the only outcome of the deportations, it would be like a miracle. Have y'all ever been to a hospital in a city, ER, life or death situation? So I know I have. And I had to wait behind probably 10 million Mexicans, I think. If I remember correctly, I believe I was behind about 10 million Mexicans in our hospital in Austin before my 1 week old baby with a high fever could be seen. And even then, they want to do a bunch of crazy crap to her that I didn't let him anyway. Why do we put up with this? Why? Why do we allow this to happen? And like, can you imagine a world where hospitals are not on the hook for thousands upon thousands of, you know, dine and dashers, of people who just come in, take advantage of all the healthcare, and then just leave. And the hospital's just stuck with the bill, and then they have to go to the government and ask for taxpayers to bail them out. Just why? Why do we put up with this? And I do just genuinely find it hilarious. This woman is trying to portray it as a bad thing that the ER is empty. It's a bad thing, apparently, that you aren't going to have to wait three hours to get yourself or your child looked at because there's a bunch of, you know, Guatemalans with tuberculosis cramping up the hallway. Yeah, nobody avoids going to the hospital with a life-threatening situation, right? Like, that's what she's really telling you right there, is all of the illegal immigrants that were filling up the ER were doing it completely electively. It was not necessary. For one thing, illegal immigrants know very well the law. You got to know the law to break it. You got to know the law pretty well to, you know, circumvent it so effectively for so long. So they know perfectly well they're not going to get arrested going to a hospital. Nobody's ever been arrested and deported out of a hospital. That's not going to happen. Because that would be a problem. You and I agree. You shouldn't arrest people for deportation at a hospital, and I wouldn't be in favor of that. Nobody is. Nobody's doing it. And they know that. They know they wouldn't. So all that means is, like, they're sitting there going, well, I could go to the hospital, but kind of makes me nervous, so I'm just not going to. So it's not a life-threatening thing. So it just means all the other times that they went to the hospital, it's not because they needed to. It's because they wanted to. Because they felt like it. Because they could. Because it was free. And now that it's not free, and now that it's, you know, they might get in trouble, they choose not to. Now, if they got shot, you think they wouldn't go to the hospital? If they chopped their finger off, you think they wouldn't go to the hospital? If they, you know, came down with an infection and were having trouble breathing, you think they'd just tough it out? No, they'd go to the hospital. Nobody avoids the hospital because they're afraid of deportation when it's an actual life-threatening emergency that they would need to go to the hospital for. We don't need free healthcare. We need to kick out all the immigrants and freeloaders so our healthcare is affordable again.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning. Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning. Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning. Morning.
Morning. Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Historians have pointed it out for thousands of years. Most people, when history is happening right in front of them, don't realize it until later. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has changed the world. You are the InfoWar. You're the eyes and ears. You're the reason we're on the air. You're the reason we're having so much success. And the bad guys hate InfoWars above all other independent populist media. So if you want to keep us on the air and take part in history, we have a limited edition, murdered out InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you get all the other apparel for way lower prices. We've got a big deal going right now where you buy one, you get one free if you're a VIP. That's incredible for the supplements as well. But with this shirt, we've marked it up a bit for those of you that really want to support the InfoWar and get this limited edition shirt. So get your InfoWars limited edition murdered out shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is a limited edition. Thanks for your support, and thanks for being part of history.
folks, we're going to move on from the NHS, but I was just perusing some of the comments, asked people about NHS. I had no idea. The NHS killed my favorite rapper. I had no idea about this. MF Doom was killed by the NHS. Leeds Hospital Trust apologizes after rapper MF Doom died in its care. What the? I had no idea. If you need another reason to hate NHS, apparently they killed MF Doom and apologized for it. That's sick. Anyway, here's a video about Nazis.
To foster and impart the required principles of leadership and tradition.
Thank you. My heart goes out to you.
You saying more missiles?
Are you building missiles?
Look, we have AOC, we have Pocahontas, we have them all making this hand gesture.
We've got the plan, they've got the fear. And we will not relent to them. We will not bow down to them. We will keep fighting for a better future.
Thank you, Massachusetts, for the great honor of serving as your senator. Thank you, guys.
Roe v. Wade was enacted because we're not going back.
Das heißt ich.
We're not going back.
Definitely taking it to a higher level. I'd say his support is about up there, right around here. And we're over here, somewhere up there.
And the left is so deceptive that if I make a Roman salute, and the Romans did this too, and then thousands of years later, Mussolini did this. And so Hitler kind of copied Mussolini in the uniforms and the goose stepping and all of it. And so that's the salute. But forevermore, that's the Nazi salute. Now, I'm demonstrating it. People will take that and say Jones is making Hitler salutes. No, I'm demonstrating it. Like if I say UT football is hook 'em horns. And that doesn't always mean you're worshiping the devil. Actually, it goes back to Italy as well, as you ward off the devil with it. It's the opposite of that. You actually study where that comes from. But my enemies, both on the fake left and fake right, will now take those images, and they will say that I was hailing Hitler and worshiping the devil. No, it's all the intention. I don't think Elon Musk is a secret Nazi. I don't think Trump is a secret Nazi. But at a certain point, the way Musk did it, where he, you know, snapped to and all the rest of it. And, you know, like Dr. Strange, like, Mein Führer, I can walk. You know, like, boom, hits his chest and then salutes. But it is a classic human salute. It's like when I've raised my fist before at right-wing events, I saw in right-wing news articles like 25 years ago, Jones is really a communist. He's making a raised fist. No, the raised fist is an ancient symbol of resistance. And I know most of the audience knows that. You're probably like, we're not 5 years old, Alex. We know that. I know, but people take things out of context to deceive. And so they will take all that out of context. But I'm being honest. The Elon thing looks deliberate. I don't know about Trump. Let's roll the video with audio of Trump just 30 minutes ago.
What up, Mr. President, what do you want to build? What are you trying to build?
What? Sir, do you approve?
You saying more missiles?
Are you building missiles?
What? Come on, Dad.
That was not intentional. He's saying missiles. That's a classic way to describe your firing missiles is. So, and I'm not even defending Trump. That is my take. We can get Daniel List, our journalist, take on that. But this is going to be a new giant obvious fiasco, and then we start with the memes. Please get somebody in there to take Trump doing that and then put up AOC doing it, Elizabeth Warren, they've all done it, and then put on there, we're all Hitler now. Put it out immediately.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. This is the American Journal. Don't go anywhere.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour, even though I still have a lot to cover still. I do want to hear what is going on out there in America and around the world. Give us a call. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539. Open lines about anything that we've talked about, 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Now let's talk about the war on the family. Now, something interesting has happened recently, and I sort of see similarities across the conspiracy spectrum, you could say, in that they aren't conspiracies anymore by definition, because they're not secret anymore. That doesn't mean they're not happening and not just as bad and evil as they ever were. It's just that they have so destroyed our culture that they can just come out and do it. You know, I'm thinking of stuff, and I still see this. I should have grabbed the video. I was watching a video the other day, and it was somebody being like, you know, these hidden images, what's the word? You know, these symbols in Disney movies, you know, subconscious, subliminal messaging in Disney movies. It's things like, oh, you can kind of see the priest junk in Little Mermaid, and oh, if you pause it at just the right time, the word sex is spelled out in the sky. And it's like, okay, now they're literally making movies about like little kids being trans. Okay, so it's just not even hidden anymore. Okay, it used to be you have to go in and go see the symbols that they're using in the award ceremonies. You see how they have a circle on the floor. It's a magic circle. They're casting spells. They're getting you to participate in a ceremony. You had to uncover it. You had to pick it apart, tell people what the real intentions were behind the upfront presentation. Now they dress up like Satan and all worship him on the stage. It's just not subtle anymore. Okay. Well, something similar is happening here, where for a long time you had people trying to, you know, making moves that were anti-family, but it was always kind of ridiculed, this idea that, oh, they're anti-family. Like, nobody's who's anti-family? I mean, that's ridiculous, right? They might have a different interpretation of family. They're not anti-family, right? So they say, like, the war on Christmas. Like, you first hear it, it's like, war on Christmas. The hell's that supposed to mean? That's a crazy thing to say. But then they're just like, you know, we love you, Satan. at a certain point, they just went mask off on all of this. So this is one of those things where for a long time, we've been telling you a lot of their policies are anti-family in effect and in intention. And now they're just coming out and saying it. So again, we're in this situation where when people first heard us talking about this, I understand why you might have been, you know, why you might have rejected our message outright, because it sounds so ridiculous. but now you're seeing it for yourself. So are you still, do you still feel the same way? All right, if I tell you that, oh, this political group just hates families and wants you dead, and you're so like appalled by that, and you're like, there's no way that's true, that can't be true. And then I'm like, here's a pamphlet where they write, we hate this person, we want them dead. It's weird that the reaction normally is just like, oh, well, okay. No, well, that's fine. They're being honest about it. You're not uncovering anything. Okay, if you were so outraged when we were telling you this before, now they admit it, it's fine. Like, this doesn't make any sense, but this is what's happening. Democratic Socialists of America panel say they want to abolish the family, perform abortions in churches. During a recent event for the Democratic Socialists of America, panelists argued in favor of performing abortions in churches and dismantling the family unit, among other completely insane things. It's very important to remember that these people are the ones driving the candidacy of Zoran Mamdani in the New York City mayoral race. If he were to win that election, these people would have his ear. Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. They didn't say they want to perform abortions in synagogues. That might be a little bit too far. They're still adhering strictly to the approved targets of hate. Let's go to clip number 7. DHS panel pushes full-scale cultural revolution, including literally abolishing the family. Let's watch.
And on that revolutionary horizon, want to perform abortions in a church, you know, but before it's all said and done.
That the only real difference between marriage and prostitution is the price and the duration of the contract.
We can fight for family abolition. We can imagine family abolition.
All right, hold on. Pause. We got to scroll back just a little bit. It took me a second to comprehend what I just heard. Only difference between prostitution and marriage is the price and the duration. Okay, that's how these people think. They think that marriage... they don't believe that. You know they don't believe that. So why are they saying it? I mean, can you imagine if they actually believe this? What is wrong with these people, man? I mean, genuinely, they take the most beautiful things in the world and they just hate them. And they just seethe in resentment that, like, good things exist. It's just... I mean, think about this. In my church, every Sunday has a time in the service where they bring up people to bless them for their birthday or for anniversaries. Imagine you're sitting there and you see, you know, the old woman and the old man hobbling up, holding hands. And the priest asks, how long have you married? And they say, we've been married 60 years today. And everybody just... Wow, beautiful, a modern miracle. Imagine, wow, she's been a prostitute for 60 years. Imagine the, like, just seething hate that must cloud your vision at all times if that's the way that you see the world. I mean, genuinely, is there anything more beautiful than a couple that's been together since they were, like, you know, 19, and they're 70 years old and still in love? It's the most beautiful thing in the world. These people hate that. They genuinely hate that. They hate the most beautiful, wonderful things in the entire world. And I don't even know how to express how sick this is. Right? She just said, the only difference between marriage and prostitution is the duration and the cost. What a sick, sick mindset. And they feel the same way about parents and children, right? They don't see a child, you know, growing up and mimicking their parents and trying to be just like their parents. That's not, you know, a beautiful example of passing tradition on. That's you being, you know, forcing your beliefs onto your child and denying them the right to experience the beauty of homosexual love or whatever it is. Like, these people are sick, man. They really are disgusting people with putrid souls. Like, I don't know how much more clear they can make it. All right. If you are the type of unhappy, miserable cow that wants to demonize marriage as a concept as just prostitution because you either want to demonize marriage since you're an unlovable idiot and you're jealous of all the people married, so you want to try to portray marriage as a bad thing to help you feel better about your own failure, or you're trying to somehow uplift and paint as glorious and virtuous being a hooker, being a whore and a prostitute and being paid to be abused. So which one is it, and which one is more sick than the other? Doesn't matter. These people are disgusting. They have disgusting souls. They have disgusting minds. And frankly, I'm very, very happy that they have free speech and that they have the temerity to say these things in public. Because while we know who these people are and what they're really about, and we've done the dangerous and difficult work of peering, you know, peeling back their skull and staring into the fetid abyss where a brain should be. So we know this is the case, but like without you coming out and saying it, people just have to take our word for it. You don't have to take our word for it. You can hear them say it. Marriage to them is just prostitution with extra steps, which is ironic because they uphold up prostitution as an absolute good. If marriage is just the most extreme and long-lasting and all-encompassing form of prostitution, they should, by any logic, be absolutely in favor of it. But nothing they believe makes any sense with anything else they believe. Nothing they believe is even remotely, accidentally, partly true. It's just an endless cacophony of ridiculous anti-human crap. Let's go back to the video of the unlovable retards in the DSA.
Abortions out of church, you know, but before it's all said and done.
That the only real difference between marriage and prostitution is the price and the duration of the contract.
We can fight for family abolition. We can imagine family abolition because we have seen black women do it. Because we have seen...
Oh my God. Like, pause it again. Holy. We can abolish the family because we've seen black women do it. So they're now taking the utter, absolute, and abject failure of the black community ever since the civil rights movement, the inability, apparently, for black families to stay together in any sizable, statistically, you know, important amount, as a good thing. So to them, it's a good thing that 75% of black children don't have a father in their home. That's a positive development for them, is it? I'm like in awe of how slimy these people are. I'm literally speechless. She just said, we can imagine abolishing the family because black women have already done it, in reference to the catastrophic state of the black community in this country. See, they'll call me racist. They want to, you know, for frame anything I say as offensive. Have you ever heard anything more offensive to that? See, I don't want black children to be raised in a fatherless household. I think that is cruel to those children. These people want to create child fatherless households. That is their goal. That is their mission. They just said it to you in their own words. These people see the suffering of the black community in this country, which is what happens when you have a fatherless home, you suffer. Kids suffer, the mom suffers, the community suffers, America suffers, the welfare system suffers. And they want to maximize that. Do they love you? Do they really love you? Is that really something that you do for someone that you love? Let's finish it out. How much longer is in this video? Oh, we have another minute and 46 to go? I thought we'd be done. I thought we were almost done. Okay, let's see. So far, abortions in church, abolish the family, and follow the model of fatherless households headed by black women. I mean, this is too much. This is too much. Let's go back to the retard convention.
Because we have seen black women do it. Because we have seen these, like, indigenous communities do it.
But, you know, it is, to me, the institution of marriage can only exist alongside the criminalization of sex workers.
Children whose parents are unable to provide either housing, food, or safety are treated as if they have committed a crime. So kids themselves are treated as if they have committed a crime if they're not born into a family that can support them.
In addition to abolition of family policing, you argue for abolition of the family in general, and say that the institution of the family acts as part of the carceral system in the way that it reinforces children as property.
I think the left is constantly surprised at how few people are ready for revolt, despite, you know, the extremely dire conditions that we are in that keep becoming more and more dire every day.
Women and children are the most harmed by capitalism, but also women and children are the architects of their fate.
So when we talk about family abolition, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the abolition of that economic unit. For me, that liberatory horizon is to say it is a horizon in which kinship and care are, in which all of our material needs are taken care of by the collective.
The criminalization of sex work is like the dark underbelly of.
Okay, this woman just really wants sex work to be a thing. Just every time she gets the mic, she's like, well, and actually sex work. And actually it's about criminalization of sex work. Nothing says civilizational accomplishment like a proliferation of whores, right? Beautiful stuff. Okay, so what do we have there? We have a bunch of ugly, overweight women wearing masks demanding that the family be abolished. Yeah, I think it's more of a person. This is more of a personal thing than a political thing for them. They're all Hispanic looking, likely raised in very traditional households. Probably very Catholic. Basically, they've just exported or projected their own failure within their own community onto the world at large, and their own failure to, you know, find a husband and happiness within their own traditional constructs. Decide that the constructs are the fault. It's not them. It can't possibly be that they're unlovable failures that suck at everything. It must be society's fault. Put on your mask and go. Cry about it in a stadium, in a gym room somewhere. Amazing. Incredible stuff. So that's a DSA panel literally advocating everything that you heard, evangelical conspiracy theorists say they were going for years ago. They're now admitting it. They want to abolish the family. They think of marriage as just, you know, prostitution with extra steps. And we all have to follow the glorious lead of brown women and black women in this country by abolishing the family and raising our children without the influence of a father. And that'll make everything better. I think everybody in that video should be shot into the sun. Meanwhile, we have this clip number 4, Amy Reichart of San Diego, activist, friend of the show. We're going to have her on to discuss this further. Here's her breakdown of just an absolutely outrageous and ridiculous. And yes, we're at the point where it seems like a parody, but it's real. It's absolutely real. AB 495 in California is a law by which any adult can legally kidnap any child. I'm not even exaggerating. Here's Amy Weichert to break it down.
A California pastor is warning parents, if AB 495 passes,
I'm going to ask you to leave the state of California. You're going to need to pack up, and you've got to run with your kids. And honestly, after what I found out, I don't blame him. At first, I thought this had to be fake. Here's what AB 495 really does and why every parent should be alarmed. Any adult, a teacher, neighbor, coach, even a casual friend can self-declare that they have a mentoring relationship with your child. Then they can sign a legal affidavit that they found online saying that they are the child's caregiver, not you. Here's the part that will make your blood boil even more. They don't need your permission as a parent. They don't need court approval. You don't even have to be notified. And with that affidavit, they can enroll your child in school. Even worse, they can approve medical, dental, and even mental health care, counseling, for example. And if you object, too bad. Schools and doctors are protected from liability. Sound familiar? This isn't just bad policy. It's a direct attack on parental right, and it puts kids in real danger. That's why we're showing up at the state capitol. Join me on Tuesday, August 19th on the Capitol steps in Sacramento. Let's rally against AB 495 and protect our kids. Go to restoresandiego.org for our free action updates. Show up, speak up, share this. This isn't about politics. This is about our kids.
And no, she's not joking. Yeah, Amy Reichert at Amy for San Diego, all spelled out, Amy for San Diego. We're going to have her on again, maybe closer to that August 19th date, try to get more attention and more participation in the rally to oppose this, because who wouldn't oppose this? Why would they even implement this, you ask? Is it about transgenderism? Is it about, you know, some other made-up psychological condition that they've, you know, created an identity around? No, actually, I guess it's about immigration. I guess the idea is that this was sold as a compassionate solution for children of detained immigrant parents. The idea is if you're parents are being deported and you want to stay in America, you can just say that your neighbor is your caregiver. Okay, so then your parents will be deported back to Mexico and you are now the child of some other person. Okay, that doesn't even make sense on the face of it. The Family Preparedness Plan Act of 2025 would allow unrelated adults, broadly defined as a, quote, adult caregiver with a, quote, mentoring relationship with the child, to assume custody-like control over a child through a one-page caregiver's authorization affidavit. No court appearance, no notarization, no parental consent or notification, no background check, no verification of identity required. I want to note, does the kid even have to know? Does the kid have to be in favor of it? Not that they can, you know, agree to this anyway. California wants to let somebody that is not related to your child remove her from school, enroll her in any other school in the state, authorize any medical treatments of her, including mental health services and drugs, without the parents' notice and knowledge or consent. This is not fear-mongering. I'm not being hyperbolic. These unintended consequences are terrifying and unavoidable. What the hell are you talking about? Unintended consequences. Those are the consequences. What other consequences are there? They're passing a bill to do this exact thing. This exact thing is the intended consequence.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to InfoWars. Remember, you support everything that we do here by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com, your one-stop shop for all things patriotic, healthy, beautiful. We got merchandise, buy one, get one free, super sale on every product, every supplement, every piece of apparel. Buy one, get one free if you're a VIP member. A massive and a soon-to-end discount, thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. Take advantage. Stock up and become a regular customer. If you want to be a VIP, just take advantage of this sale and then cancel it. We wouldn't blame you. It is that good of a sale. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And we're going to go out to your phone calls this segment, but just very quickly, in Israel news, Trump plans to take over Gaza aid effort, U.S. officials say. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and President Trump discussed plans for the U.S. to significantly increase its role, providing humanitarian aid to Gaza in a meeting Monday evening at the White House, according to two U.S. officials and an Israeli official with knowledge of the matter. Negotiations for a ceasefire are struck, and Benjamin Netanyahu is moving towards significantly expanding the war. U.S. officials are concerned about more bloodshed, but have not yet to firmly object. The new food aid plan Trump promised last week is not yet finalized. But it is always very sad or like pathetic and weird when you see America trying to like clean up Israel's messes when we could just stop them at any point. We're the superpower. They're the rump state in the middle of nowhere, you know, but apparently we're like, I guess we can take over the aid distribution. And they're like, great, because we are up to our, you know, ears killing people. So, you know, we can be handling all this aid stuff as well. We got kids to murder. So anyway, very frustrating that, of course, we're having to make up for that. Bennett, Naftali Bennett from Israel says Israel's status in the U.S. has never been so bad. It's becoming a leper state. And of course, that is bad. They don't like that. They're not going to change their actions. They're not going to alter their behavior at all. They're not going to engage in even momentary retrospection or introspection as to their behavior and what could have caused this outcome. They are, however, trying desperately to stop you from talking about it. Okay? So they're, you know, they recognize Israel's never been so hated in the U.S. It is becoming a leper state. Its name at this point is synonymous with ruthless, brutal murder of children and committing a Holocaust in front of everybody, gleefully smiling at it and laughing at dead babies. Like, that's what comes to mind when people hear Israel now. And that's a problem for Israel because they want to be able to do that stuff without you being mad at them about it. Okay, so they're not nowhere in this article. They say maybe it was a bad idea to do all of this stuff. Maybe we shouldn't continue to brutally repress a million, you know, unarmed people starving to death. That's never the concern. It's never even remotely a topic of conversation. They're literally just doubling down on absolutely everything that they say that is just abominable and horrible and awful. And then they talk about how we have to stop the damage to our reputation from this. Like, just stop killing everyone, you absolute psychopaths. Polish PM Tusk appears to compare Israel to Nazis with immediate retorts from Israel and the U.S. And I don't know, as far as I know, the Nazis did feed the Jews. They did feed the Jews, so yeah. I don't know. A little unfair, I think. It's unfair to the Nazis to compare them to Israel at this point. Learn how the ADL and Sacha Baron Cohen's call for arresting tech execs for allowing free speech is connected to the Trump administration's attempt to pull FEMA emergency funds from states that criticized Israel. Alex Jones spent a long time talking about Jewish actor Sacha Baron Cohen's call to arrest tech company executives that don't censor people. Which, of course, is hilarious because he spent his entire career mocking people and making fun of people because of their ethnicities. He just doesn't want his ethnicity criticized and thinks it should be a crime to do so. Flagrantly hypocritical, but what else is new? I have a clip of one of Sacha Baron Cohen's less well-known parts. Do y'all remember Kindergartens, I think it was called? He basically did a thing where he pretended to be an IDF officer and humiliated American politicians by getting them to endorse a program giving guns to children. And it's just type of thing where, like, when you think that it's like an American person doing this, it's like, okay, you're poking fun at the gullibility of this politician. You're showing, you know, at the same time he's playing like a caricature of an Israeli. You're kind of making fun of the IDF a little bit. But then when you realize that, like, no, this guy is just like Israel first ethnic supremacist, then it becomes a lot less like, haha, we're poking fun at ourselves, and a lot more like, oh, this was a humiliation ritual proving that, you know, you as an Israeli can convince American politicians to do whatever the hell you want because you're, you know, they're your bitch and you get to humiliate them and laugh at them and mock them for treating you so nicely and so well because they, you know, trust you way more than they should. And it's all, you know, big joke on their, at their expense. So, you know, it's just a whole different vibe when you revisit some of Sacha Baron Cohen's old work and you realize like, well, this guy, he's not one of us poking fun at ourselves. This is an outsider, like humiliating Americans and white people and Christians and Kazakhstanians as like a power move to humiliate and make you seem small. So that's interesting. Republican senator calls for IRS investigation into CARES tax exempt status. Senator Tom Cotton is asking for the IRS to revoke the nonprofit status of the Council on American Islamic Relations due to alleged ties to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood. I think, you know, fair is fair, and I think the ADL and AIPAC have to have their tax-exempt status looked into. After all, the West Bank settlers are terrorists and designated terrorists by international bodies, the exact same way that Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood are. So I think what Tom Cotton is doing here is good. It just needs, we need to double down on it. We need to get all of these foreign terrorist organizations investigated and likely stripped of their nonprofit status. And finally, I got Grok to admit something they probably didn't mean to. So basically, I went to Grok and I asked him a few questions about the Christian population in Bethlehem, because Mike Johnson is there in the West Bank saying that it should all be Jewish, which would mean eradicating the 10% of the population that's Christian. And this is down from 85%. So I said, Bethlehem, Jesus's birthplace, was under Muslim rule for nearly 1,200 years, from 637 to 1947. During that time, the Christian population never went below 85%. In the 77 years since Israel was founded, that has dropped to just 10%. Mike Johnson is working with Israel to make it 0%. Linking, of course, the images of Johnson, Judea, Samaria belong to Israel by right, saying that, you know, basically God gave it to the Jews and the Jews should have it entirely. Again, you know, the implication being that the Christians and Muslims that live there have to be forcibly removed. And so then I posted my Grok response to calculate the total, and I asked him, you know, how long was Bethlehem under Muslim control? And he gave me the breakdown. Initial Muslim rule, Ayyubid rule, Ayyubid Mamluk rule, Ottoman rule, Jordanian rule, all adding up to just a little under 1,200 years. Most Christians are concentrated in cities like Bethlehem, Ramallah, and Jericho. So I asked about the Christian population in the West Bank. And they say Bethlehem, a key Christian pilgrimage site, has seen its Christian population decline from about 85% in 1948 to roughly 10 to 15% today, largely due to immigration driven by economic challenges and political tension. Okay, so what I said, it was absolutely incontrovertibly 100% true, right? I mean, we can all agree that I did just relay the stats and facts as presented to me by Grok, which is interesting because then Grok, somebody actually asked Grok about this. Grok, would you kindly correct this poster with facts? Not, I guess, recognizing that the facts I presented were presented by Grok in the first place, which is weird because then Grok calls me a liar. I quoted Grok. Somebody else comes in and says, hey, Grok, correct this person. And so what we're seeing here is the evidence of Grok's designed pro-Israel stance, because Grok, the AI, already knows to characterize my statement, despite being totally factual, as if I'm motivated by anti-Israel sentiment and not the facts on the ground. Grok says the claim that Bethlehem's Christian population stayed above 85% is unsubstantiated. Well, you told it to me, dumbass. This is what happens when you have Israelis controlling your AI. They literally tell you something, you say it again, and they say, that's anti-Semitic. You're not allowed to say that. It showed it fell from 85% to 1950 to 10 to 12% today due to immigration driven by economic woes, conflict, and reported Muslim extremism under PA rule since 1995. Israel's Christian population is growing. Johnson supports Israel's West Bank claims, but isn't targeting Christians. Thank you. I wonder why such a post gets made, which is clearly incorrect. Such posts often stem from ideological biases, selective fact-picking, or propaganda to fuel anti-Israel narratives. Fact-checking is key to counter misinformation. Glad to help you clarify. Well, you didn't counteract anything. You actually confirmed exactly what I said. You are just programmed to be pro-Israel, and so you're claiming that the statements you made are in fact anti-Israeli propaganda motivated by my anti-Israel stance, even though what I posted was what Grok said verbatim. I took a screenshot of what Grok said and posted it, and then Grok says this is motivated by anti-Israel sentiment. This is what happens when you get ideologically perverse and compromised people in charge of AIs who program them to deliberately lie on behalf of Israel, to deceive on behalf of Israel, to protect Israel from factual interpretation of their existence, even if it's the facts that they themselves presented. Thanks, Grok. Thanks, Grok. So again, hilarious. I literally post something from Grok and people go, Grok, fact check this. And Grok goes, this is false. Okay. It's not though. It's not. It's just, you know, you don't want people to come to the obvious conclusion, which is how could it be the Muslims that are responsible for the decline of Christians when they were in charge of Bethlehem for 1200 years and there were still 85% Christian population. And in just the 77 years since Israel's founding, that has been decimated down to 10%. And now Mike Johnson is there saying it should be 0%. And maybe we could solve some of these problems if things like Grok weren't controlled by Israelis who just don't give a damn about facts whatsoever and will twist anything to try to portray themselves as a victim. It's very pathetic and annoying. And we'll go finally to clip number 12, since this is just all in line with this, and then we'll go out to calls. But clip number 12, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem and the Greek Orthodox Patriarch have come together to announce that the churches and their leadership stand with the people of Gaza. So, you know, all the Christians out there, you think you have to be pro-Israel to be Christian. Just know the two leaders of the two most ancient and largest churches in the world are both very open about their stance, and they're on the side of Gaza, and they're against the Israelis who have systematically been wiping them out of the Middle East for the last 77 years. Let's watch. Holy Land clerics stand in solidarity with people
to
of Gaza.
The international community, we say, silence in the face of suffering is a betrayal of conscience. To the whole people of Gaza, we, the church and her leaders, stand in solidarity with you. And to all those who wield power, we echo the Lord's command. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God.
We are denouncing what is going on to Gaza. Three people died of our community, but thousands of people already died in Gaza. And every day, dozens of people are killed in Gaza. Today we raise our voices in an appeal to the leaders of this region and the world. There can be no future based on captivity, displacement of Palestinians, or revenge. There must be a way that restores life, dignity, and all lost humanity.
So there you go. Apparently, Tom Emmer, the GOP majority whip, also in Israel traveling with their friends from AIPAC. Ian Carroll notes, our whole Congress takes a recess to avoid voting on the Epstein files release and said goes to kiss the wall and suck Bibi off, but you're anti-Semitic for noticing. This is treason. Yeah, well. What are we going to do about it? That's the question. Let's go out to your phone calls. Chaz in New York says his father's in the Israeli healthcare system. Go ahead, Chaz. You're on the air.
Yeah, my dad had a stroke 10 years ago. He is in the Israeli healthcare system and all that. And it's just very hard to contact him or anything or do anything about that.
Well, so he's Israeli and he's there in the hospital, but you're not able to contact him?
He was born in New Jersey, but he, you know, did actually go through the process of getting citizenship in Israel. I did too, by the way. I lived there from 2014 to 2017.
Okay.
You know, just to be there with family. Like, we do have extended family over there and all that. But
okay, so he, just I'm sorry, not to be rude, Chaz, but what's your point? What would you call in about in reference to your father in the healthcare system?
Well, the healthcare system sucks. it just does. And
so sort of an NHS style situation is what you're relating it to?
Yeah, relating it to the NHS style situation. It might even be worse.
Wow.
To be quite honest.
That is surprising me. I mean, I wonder if like Sweden or somebody has a better healthcare system, but I would have expected, you know, Israel to have one. So, I mean, basically that just means that like there is no good government-run healthcare system, as far as we can tell. I mean, UK is like the premier example, and it obviously is a complete, you know, murderous death trap. Canada just kills everybody that comes in if they're too poor or whatever. Apparently, even Israel can't even handle having a good healthcare system. Yeah, it turns out socialist healthcare just not the right way to go overall. Even Israeli systems aren't operating well. Thanks for the call, Chaz. Let's go to who was it that I saw called in? Aaron from Braintree Studios, of course. Aaron, thanks for calling in on line three. I'm talking about propaganda. You're on the air, sir.
Howdy, sir. I just wanted to say, I think a couple weeks ago you brought, I think, a Tulsi article, and you, like, blacked out all the unnecessary adjectives.
Yeah.
To kind of, like, you know, get to the heart of the news. Can you like do that every week and like clip it out so I can post it to Facebook for all the old people?
Yes, I will.
Like Mr. Rogers it out, like a whole special kind of thing. Because all I've seen today with that RFK suspending mRNA, all the news articles over here in Boston, RFK guts vaccine research. It's like, oh my God.
Right.
No link to the video, no, intricacies of what he's actually doing is just like infuriating.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I mean, it's been a bit we've done for a while, but yeah, I should do it like every day. I mean, sometimes some articles are just so like egregious in it that it just pops out where you go, man, this whole article has one statement of fact in it. The rest is framing. So I tend to do it when we get articles like that, but I should make it a regular bit. To do
yeah,
that.
Even if it's just like once a week, just like the worst one, the most egregious one of the week.
Yeah, because the idea is that not for me to present it, but for, you know, you to be able to read the article and go, all right, what really happened here? What's the facts? What are the, you know, opinions? What can I ignore? Where's the language that's designed to tell me what to think and what's just actually what's happening? I mean, we could do it. We could do it at any point, but, good. I'm glad you liked that. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that more often. I did it first one time back before American Journal existed when Rob Dew was hosting at one point, and we came up with that concept. Thank you very much for the call, Aaron, Braintree Studios. Regular caller, friend of the show, you could say. Let's go to Eris in Wisconsin. Eris in Wisconsin, you have a comment about that interview that Hunter Biden did with Channel 5. What did you notice about that?
I don't know if it was a Channel 5 guy or it was a younger kid with the hat.
Oh.
The newer one. But it could have been called Channel 5. I don't know. I think a Channel 5 one was a little earlier, but you can see it in kind of both interviews now.
Okay, the crew just told me it is a Channel 5 interview. There's a second one with the same channel.
Okay. Yeah. In his right eye, if you look, he has light-colored eyes between the 12 and 3 position in his eye. It's scarred in his eye there, and that was like a whole thing during Pizzagate, was that when people would get abused as a child, that they would get scarring in the center, the colored part of their eye in that position. And like if you had like injuries elsewhere, you'd have different marks in your eye in different spots. And
That's,
I was like, was Hunter, was he abused by Joe Biden? Because didn't Joe Biden have that MO? He was like taking showers and that the whole thing with the journal with Ashley Biden.
Yeah,
and, you know, they could definitely swing it both ways. That's Democrat style. You know, they like that. You know, and don't forget the old Serbian thing. The devil's trying to go up your butt.
Well, it's the that's very interesting. Yeah, and it, you know, it's something that we were talking about last time Rex was here and we were taking calls and somebody asked about you know, sacrificing children. And I made the point, like, you know, even back in the old days when they'd be sacrificing children to Moloch, the children were provided by the parents. It's the same thing with pedophiles here. The vast majority of pedophilic activity happens with the approval of the parents. The parents will supply, I mean, especially in Hollywood, especially in politics. It's like it's a tit for tat kind of thing. It's a, yeah, you get to do it to my kid and I get to do it to your kid. Now we're both compromised and yeah, it's all creepy. I don't know if that's evidence, but that's a very common thing.
Maybe
remember,
that explains the drug usage and, you know,
a
big drug addict, you know, and that would be like very commonly when people are abused, they have to resort to hard drugs to cope.
100%. And they will then, you know, start abusing also, right? That cycle continues generationally. And the eye thing is interesting because that's a very common quality of some of the famous cases like Madeleine McCann or McCann, Madeleine McCann. Yeah. You know, British girl stolen from, Playa de Luz in Portugal.
It's not wild.
She had a deformed pupil in her eye. I think maybe even the little girl that was, yeah, so that's like the same thing Hunter Biden has. So that's a very interesting observation. I don't know what it pertains
to.
Soros has it too.
There's no other way to get that in your eye, you know? And it's like a confirmed medical thing. It's not some wild conspiracy theory thing. It's a causality thing. And I just think it matters. Now, if he was just some druggie and he was going to disappear forever, it wouldn't be a big deal. But maybe he's in the running to be a new political figure, run for president. Joe Rogan said something like that, you know, and I do not want someone who's like that in the control of the nuclear weapons. I can't even imagine what that would be like.
If he ever credibly runs for anything, we just need to need a new flood.
They ran that crackhead guy in Canada. Macron's a crackhead. They like the crackheads because they can control them with the drugs. Very old witchcraft trick, you know, been going on for ages. I just like to imagine a world without, like, the Zionism, LGBT rainbow mafia, and satanic cabal. Like, imagine what that world would be like, or country would be like. I mean, it would be carpeted outside. We could walk outside bare feet. How nice it would be. And talk about, you know, it's a threat to our military. It's a threat to our military forces, where it's all, no offense, but I mean it in the old school colloquialism, you know, our military production system has been totally Jewed.
totally taken over. Well, I mean, I too can imagine a world without a bunch of evil people doing evil things. It's a world we're trying to create and build regardless of their reasons for doing it. It's obvious what's happening here. You got the DSA wanting to abolish families and legalize sex work, and the ADL is trying to censor everybody, and it's just, we're just going down the path of total destruction, control, and the absolute abolition of freedom and the things that freedom upholds. It's very pathetic, but we'll fight.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. Have you figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history. Maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Booster Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back, and then some, simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. you need to try our ultra-methylene blue. But talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check those interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the Irish sea moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% humanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. Be right back.